about. You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm not just blowing smoke here. I love your show. I love it. Seriously, I want to have sex with your show.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the one I used to know, where the trees top glisten and children listen to hear sneak bells in the snow.
Thank you, Asian guy from the Neptunes. Those beats are fresh.
Just in case you do get into a situation, I want to make sure that you are situated. Because if you do get into a situation with your situation, you may end up with a situation, and you may not like that situation.
Now, that's positive thinking.
That's racist.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
My name is Ipad Banotak.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend, pass it over to me.
Airtight.
Roll another one.
Kevin gave, he gives everybody her.
Correct.
Just like the other one.
No.
This one seems to be about to quit.
How dare you?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Whose stupid idea was this? Seriously.
Roll another one.
God, I'm sick and tired of this.
Just like the other one.
I want to have sex with her.
This one seems to be about to end.
You've got to lower your expectations.
I don't have.
How much was cut out of the movie, or was everything kept in?
Wait, what?
Just pass it around.
Whoa, that's such a hard question.
And how often has been used?
And now
they're stupid. They're dumb. Rude. They're punk motherfuckers.
Our feature presentation.
That's accurate, by the way. You can't deny that.
That's not the holiday spirit at all, Dwayne Johnson of Los Angeles, California. Come on.
It's not, but it's accurate. So what do you do? Good morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Friday morning at 5:35.
What's going on, party people?
What's happening?
Is there pressure now? Now, last day to give away the tickets to the Acoustic Christmas? Is everybody in a frenzy now? How am I going to get in? What am I going to do? How can I go?
There is some of that, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah,
imagine that. I would want to answer the phones at K-Rock this week. Would you?
No, me either.
And you know, I bet there are a lot of people who go, all right, okay, I know they're not giving them away right now because I'm listening to the radio, but it doesn't hurt to call and just ask.
What's maybe the downside?
Maybe they got some just laying around. I'm just going to call. I'm just going to ask the nice person answering the phone, could you just give me some tickets because you don't understand. I really want to go. And that
right.
must happen 200 times an hour, right?
Yeah, probably.
Well, and so. How many times does it happen in your email?
A lot.
A lot. Same idea.
That's where you get the sob stories, where the person just got diagnosed with cancer and is going to die on Sunday and wants to go Saturday.
Right.
And you go, look, I really hope that's not true, but if we took every story like that, we'd sell no tickets to anyone else.
We'd have a big room full of sad people.
Right.
That's, right. That's not a party.
No.
They would just take us all out in a hearse after Saturday's show.
I just tell him Beer Bug's got the tickets. Just that's my standard response is just, oh, Beer Bug's got to help you with that. But he's gonna play hard to get. He's going to pretend he doesn't have them. But that's just he wants to make sure that you really want them.
Yeah, they're on his person, so take them by force.
If you see them, just take them. Right.
Right.
All right. Here's the story to get us going today, and I think this is going to wig you the F out. Targeted ads are a thing that advertisers try to do, and it makes sense. I mean, it's as simple as if you're watching football, maybe they're not going to show you ads for The Real Housewives. Maybe they're going to show you ads for another TV show or another product that they think the profile of somebody who enjoys football might like. It just makes sense to put the ads where the eyeballs are that are most likely to buy the product, right?
Right.
And, you know, you see this in everything with, you know, with magazines and billboards and everything. Well, now Verizon has filed a patent application for a DVR that watches you and listens to your conversation in your home.
What? What do you mean it watches you?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean, is it watches you. It sees and hears you. The DVR is looking for things that they might be able to suggest that you buy based on who you are, what you're doing, and what else is in the room.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Absolutely. For instance, if you're arguing, they might throw up an ad for couples therapy. If you're...
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, wow.
Right?
Wow.
The patent application, which was filed in May of 2001, states the technology is intended to detect ambient actions of its users, including eating, laughing, talking, singing, humming, cleaning, playing a musical instrument, fighting, playing games, banging. So that's what they're going for now.
You would get nonstop erectile dysfunction on yours, wouldn't you?
It's just going to keep putting up those ads until it needs some motion, right?
That's absurd.
The device would also be able to detect things like skin color, accents, the inanimate objects that people surround themselves with. So, for instance, if they see the decor that you have in the living room or the bedroom where your television is, they might suggest other things that might complement
this.
That.
Will never. This is not a done deal, right?
No, they've just filed for the application.
Yeah,
just means they have the technology. It doesn't mean that anyone would ever allow themselves.
Right, I don't think anyone would ever buy it.
You'd have to let some people, I bet, would let them do it.
Do you?
Really?
I bet.
Because Google, by the way, has also filed a separate patent for an interactive television service that could tell how many people are in a room at a given time. I mean, the guy was right. It's getting more like communism.
Yeah. Well, what they can do and what people are comfortable with can be two different things.
Right.
I mean,
I cannot imagine
many people would put a box in there that spies on them.
Yeah. Because the thing that I thought about 15 seconds into this article is if the DVR technology has a way of seeing, quote unquote, what's going on, doesn't that mean at some point there's a person who could be involved in that process? I would think anyway.
On the other end of it. Yeah.
So if you're, having a conversation about, hey, where do you want to go for vacation, you know, next year or something like that, maybe, boom, all of a sudden they throw up a bunch of ads for Hawaii or something. You're eating ice cream on the couch. Maybe they put up a Weight Watchers ad. I mean, there's any number.
What if I get ice cream on the walls? What do they do with that? Rehab?
I don't know about that, but that's crazy creepy. That's science fiction, but that's where they're headed.
Wow.
So
nope.
Good times.
Not for me.
You say not so much.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay, look, what you're feeling right now is regret and shame.
Mm-mm. Nope, we feel that at the end of the show. We feel regret and shame when it's over and we go, wow, we really squandered that opportunity.
Good point.
Today is Friday. We have a movie beat. Mm-hmm. Ralph will tell you about the new movies or movie in theaters. We have Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 28.
It's been
fantastic.
So good.
Fantastic.
I love this so much. It's just so crazy to me that this is one of the biggest stars in R&B. And it's the dumbest, worst, best thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's exactly right.
It's like it's coming from the Armenian comedian, mm-hmm. but it's not. It's coming from R. Kelly, who is considered...
Who could do better.
Who could do way better.
Yeah.
Steve-O's going to be in the studio talking about killer karaoke.
Yeah, dude.
he's not going to make us put our hands in a rat cage or anything like that to do the interview, is he?
I cannot promise you anything. I don't know.
All right.
Harley will be in the studio today from Epic Mealtime.
Why does that guy not weigh 800 pounds?
Good question.
We'll ask it.
Cousin Sal will be here with his NFL picks mm-hmm. for the weekend, and we have your tickets and backstage passes for the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Goes to Christmas. Unfortunately, we're going to play Does Kevin Know, which is fun for everyone.
Yes.
Except me. All right. So that's coming up as well. We will take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
They're probably going to win the Album of the Year at the Grammys, I would imagine. Mumford & Sons, and that seem like it has the right mix of being popular and critically acclaimed and plenty of banjos?
Probably. Plenty of banjos is one of the requirements?
Yeah, it's the three things the Grammy people look
Grammy
for.
Grammy loves banjo.
They sure do. It's Friday. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What the hell is going on?
Well, despite her claiming she wants to be left alone and she's retired and please give me my privacy, Amanda Bynes was spotted again this week in New York City clubbing by herself. She was spotted in the wee small hours of the morning, about 1:45 a.m. at a nightclub according to sources, zoned out was how she was described. She was alone, definitely like walking into people. She looked just zoned out of her mind, randomly dancing with strangers.
Sounds like me in Vegas.
One eyewitness says, we were like, can I get a picture of you? You're Amanda Bynes. She said, no, I'm not, and I don't want my picture taken. Which are you? Are you not Amanda Bynes, right, or you don't want your picture taken? After the club emptied out, the source says, we wanted to go to Avenue, another club. So we walked there. On our walk, we saw her again with some random people just stumbling. I felt so bad for her. I've never seen anyone like that zoned out. So we walked into Avenue, and I saw her walk into a popular restaurant, Artichoke. She just sat in a booth by herself, and that was the end of that.
That bitch is crazy.
Got a lot of thinking to do, I guess.
That's just sad. Just sad. Yep. Hey, guess who's at it again? The Million Mom March.
All right.
The million moms. All million of those moms.
How many
million moms.
How many showed up to the last Million Mom March? It's like 10 grand?
Actually, there are about 40,000 of the Million Moms on their website. So the 1 million moms are once again picking on Ellen DeGeneres.
She's still gay?
She's still gay, apparently. She's doing a new commercial for JCPenney where she sits at a dinner table with three of Santa's elves. And it's kind of funny. She accidentally sort of makes fun of them while she's talking about making more toys for the store.
Right.
And she says things like, I know this is no small feat. And she's embarrassed because they're all little. You know. It's not a big deal. Anyway, it's a humorous enough, innocuous little commercial. But not to the 1 million moms who posted on their website this past Tuesday. Since April, JCPenney's has not aired Ellen DeGeneres in one of their commercials until now. A new JCPenney ad features Ellen and three elves. JCP has made their choice to offend a huge majority of their customers again. Christians must now vote with their wallets.
Now, Ralph, is your take that they're really upset for the rights of the little people here, or is this just kind of their backdoor, no pun intended, way to get at Ellen again because they're still ticked off about the gay
thing? Oh, they don't mention the midgets at all. It has nothing to do with that. It's just because...
Oh, I thought that's what you meant about them offending okay.
No, I was describing the commercial you, all and right. It's a humorous commercial with CGI creating the elves, but no, the huge majority is the fact that she's a lesbian.
Gotcha.
And she's in... For the forefront of their commercial campaign.
Well, I hope JCPenney does the exact same thing they did last time, which is ignore that protest and move ahead with the commercial with Ellen.
Well, they're not even getting really defense in their own groups. One member of their group posted under the website, this is so offensive, said nobody with a brain ever. So, it may not be working out for them. This is the best thing ever. I can't wait. We finally know the cast of Fox's brand new celebrity reality diving competition show.
All right.
There it is. Stars in Danger, the high dive.
Finally.
Stars in Danger.
George Clooney, Brad Pitt.
Well, sure. That's one team.
Okay.
No, actually, the show.
Stephen Hawking, please.
Which debuts Wednesday, January the 9th. We'll have the following competitors.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's not available. DiCaprio is afraid of water, turns out.
Is that right?
J-Wow. Yeah, that's right. J-Wow from Jersey Shore will be diving.
All right. Based on what she's wearing, I might tune in for that.
Professional surfer and author of the book Soul Surfer, Bethany Hamilton, will be diving slightly to one side.
She's got just the one...
One arm.
One arm.
Yeah, she's one armed.
Okay.
Doesn't mean she can't do it, man.
I agree.
Look, now in all these reality competition shows, since the wild success of J.R. Martinez,
yeah,
you have to have somebody who is a pseudo-celebrity and has some sort of physical handicap.
Sure.
Okay.
Ups the heartstring quotient of the show. Alexandra Paul. She was on Baywatch, and she's also an Iron Man athlete.
Okay.
Former child actress Kim Richards and her sister Kyle Richards of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. On the men's side, we've got David Chokichi.
Oh.
From Baywatch.
These are not celebrities.
Antonio Sabato Jr. And Terrell Owens.
What?
Yeah, wide receiver Terrell Owens will be diving off the high dive.
That's sad.
They're stars in danger, people. They are stars in danger.
I don't think we have to mention why he won't do well.
Oh, my God.
Because he's a wide receiver. And
right,
they don't...
They're too bulky. Yeah, you can't have that kind of weight and distribution and dive. Come on.
And another reason to hate TLC is if I don't have enough already.
What are you talking about? It's the best network.
It's the worst network.
It's the best.
The worst.
It's the worst best.
No, they've gone beyond the pale. They're just
it's a freak show.
No,
network.
They're just horrible on every level.
What's this?
They do is crap. Sunday, December the 16th, brand new special, William and Kate, A Royal Baby Story.
Okay, I'm out. I'm with you.
She just got pregnant.
Yeah.
And they're doing a special on December the 16th about the royal baby. Now, there's no news to report about this baby yet.
Mm-mm. So what don't think about it.
What they're going to do is talk to a bunch of royal experts and historians who will explain what life will be like for the child.
Oh, F them so much.
Yeah. So that's what you can
look forward to.
The royal baby story.
Here's a clip.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
Well, she's got an excellent point. We should talk to the baby. We should go in utero and have a conversation with that kid.
I like it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Tom Waits, 63 years old today.
Oh, he's good. Oh, he's very good.
He's the most beautiful singing
voice. One of
the
worst voices ever.
Beautiful singing voice in all of music.
We got to pull some Tom Waits for folks who have never heard him because they really won't believe it.
They won't
real.
Believe it, yeah.
Larry Bird's 56 years old today. Actor C. Thomas Howell.
I hear about him exactly one time a year, and it's when Ralph shouts him out on his birthday on this show.
I love CTH.
And other than that, the guy just, he may not even still be alive for all we know.
Southland.
About. Yeah, he's Southland.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Southland.
All right.
South, mother effing land.
Forgot about that show.
It's and he was so in long. Amazing Spider-Man. He was in that, too. He was the grateful construction worker who moves all of the cranes across New York City so Spider-Man can swing from one to the other.
I stand corrected. I didn't realize he was back in such a huge way.
Star in Danger, the high dive star, Terrell Owens celebrates his 39th birthday today. Shiri Appleby from Life Unexpected and what was that? The space
Roswell.
Show. Roswell, yeah. 34 years old today. Jennifer Carpenter, Dexter's sister slash boyfriend. She loves her brother.
Yeah.
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 It's weird. This
it
season.
Is weird.
Yeah. Lost that on my DVR the Wednesday.
Oh, no.
Boobs up, by the way. On I got it. Thank you. And I'm a fan. I'm a friend of DirecTV. They do good work. I told them it took a crap, and they said, okay, we'll get you one soon. Next day, I had the new one.
No kidding.
But everything I had recorded is gone.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what has going on in Dexter.
At least shows like Dexter are available on demand. You can still go back and re-download.
I got to go back. She's 33 years old. And Emily Browning from Sleeping Beauty and Sucker Punch. She's just adorable. She's 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a new chapter of R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet for you next hour. And our friend Steve-O, host of Killer Karaoke, joins us also coming up between 7 and 8. And keep on listening for your chance to win your tickets to join us at the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas this weekend. Those are on the way as well. First, though, it's Friday. Time for the movie beat. Here's Ralph.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Garman.
I can never tell what he's going to end on, so.
That was my fault. I was waving furiously at Kevin to play the intro right away.
No, but I thought when he said Movie Beat, that would be it.
Now here I am with the Movie Beat.
Now here you are with the Movie Beat.
Four new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. I'm telling you, at least half of them look good.
What?
And here's the thing. It's a big, big weekend for Catherine Zeta-Jones. She is in two movies this weekend, and one of them looks good.
Hmm.
All right.
So if you're a fan of Catherine Zeta-Jones, you're a very happy person this weekend. Let's start off with a movie she's not in, but has been much anticipated ever since they announced the casting of Bill Murray as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The movie is a charming story called Hyde Park on the Hudson, basically the story of the love affair between FDR and his distant cousin, Margaret Stuckley. And it's centered around the weekend in 1939 when the King and Queen of England visited upstate New York and stayed with the president and his wife to talk policy, but also to get a feel for America. It looks charming, this movie. Bill Murray looks awesome as FDR. Laura Linney plays his cousin Margaret, who he falls in love with. It just looks like a terrific film. Here are some clips from the trailer of Hyde Park on the Hudson.
Hello?
Who is that?
The president wishes to see me.
I'd been invited to visit with Franklin at his home in Hyde Park.
Daisy? What a rad trick.
His mother said he needed to take his mind off his work and the pressures of being the president.
What do you say you and I get out of here? Go someplace quiet?
That spring, Franklin showed me a world I never knew existed.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. His pants.
Yeah.
For a guy in a wheelchair, he gets a lot of tail. That's all I know. Go, Frank. Go, Frank.
Isn't it weird to have a President Roosevelt and a President Lincoln movie in the theater at the same time?
Well, America loves its presidents. Also opening up this weekend is Deadfall. This looks interesting. This is a thriller starring Eric Bana and Olivia Wilde as two siblings who have to split up and fend for themselves in the wake of a botched casino heist. And they reunite when they crash another family's Thanksgiving celebration. A very tense film with a lot of drama. Olivia Wilde looks great in this film. Eric Bana is her brother. She starts to fall for Charlie Hunnam, one of the family members at this Thanksgiving dinner, which kind of sets off Eric. It's a little confusing, but it certainly looks tense. Here's a scene between Eric Bana and Charlie Hunnam as they sit together at this awkward Thanksgiving dinner. Eric Bana, well, he wants to know what Charlie Hunnam is grateful for.
Jay, what are you grateful for?
It's none of your business.
No, you're missing the point, Jay.
Well, I'm not going to give you anything.
Jay, it's your turn.
Addison, please stop. These people haven't done anything to you.
You best watch your mouth, little girl. Don't you forget where you belong.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah, the two brother and sister crime team basically hold this family hostage during their Thanksgiving. And, looks very intense.
It's what Thanksgiving is really all about.
About hostages and crime and threats of violence. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see Charlie Hunnam in a movie, by the way. His star has risen so much as the star of Sons of Anarchy. It'd be interesting to see how he does on the big screen.
Yeah. Lay the Favorite looks like fun. Stephen Frears is one of my favorite writer-directors. Remember High Fidelity with John Cusack?
Sure.
I loved that film. He has a looks like a really charming film called Lay the Favorite about Las Vegas gambling. Bruce Willis plays a sports gambler who picks up a Las Vegas cocktail waitress as his lucky charm, played by the stunning Rebecca Hall. I just love her. Vince Vaughn is also in this film. Catherine Zeta-Jones plays Bruce Willis's wife, who is pretty much a jinx on his gambling. Joshua Jackson is in this film. It just looks like so much fun. Here's a little bit of the trailer from Lay the Favorite.
I came to Las Vegas to do something exciting and different.
Do you know where I could find a job? Hey, Holly, what about Dink? Doesn't he need anybody?
What's Dink?
I am Dink.
Beth, say hi to Frankie.
And my wife, Tulip.
Do not fall in love with me.
So you're a bookie?
Absolutely not. I'm a gambler.
Do you ever worry about getting caught?
Dave Greenberg here. I got into some trouble. This is a mess.
Gamblers.
Yeah. Looks terrific. You want to check this out in limited release this weekend. And the big release this week just looks horrible. Just looks so bad on every possible level. I don't know how Gerard Butler keeps getting cast in films. He just keeps making bomb after bomb after bomb. 1-300 buys him an awful lot of failures.
Yep.
Remember that one he made with Katherine Heigl where she was a bounty hunter and they were running her and they were exes and stuff. Yep. And oh, craptastic.
Some actors or actresses you could go, hey, that person generally picks good projects, so I'll trust them and go. He's not one of them.
In this romantic comedy, I guess you'd have to call it just by genre alone, Gerard Butler plays a former soccer player, Kevin. Hey, he's one of your people.
Nope.
Who falls on hard times and has to start coaching a kid's soccer team in order to get his life together, but starts to get hit on by all the soccer moms who are pursuing him at every turn. They all want to bang him. Oh, it's such a tragedy. Jessica Biel, Uma Thurman, and Catherine Zeta-Jones all star in this film. That's a lot of talent in what looks to be just a poop pile of a film. Here's a scene where Catherine Zeta-Jones runs into George, the former soccer player, now coach, while picking up their kids from soccer practice.
Hi. You're Lewis's dad? I'm Denise, Samantha's mom.
Have we met before?
Not that I remember. And I'd remember.
You look very familiar to me.
Oh, I get that all the time.
Come on, help me out. How do I know you?
Okay, doctors tell me running back Orlando Jones has suffered a torn ACL and will not be returning for the
That's second. It! Yeah, you're a sportscaster on TV.
I was. You see, you're not the only one who used to be someone, Coach.
How can you love it? It's crap.
Oh, man.
Maybe they were paying triple scale or something, and that's how they got all these stars in this film.
Well, I hope everyone got well paid. Because when you sell your soul, you should at least get a decent price for it. It's Yeah, it's in theaters everywhere, but not for long, I'm guessing. So my pick for the weekend, I love Vegas. I love gambling movies. I love quirky, charming, romantic comedies. And this looks like Lay the Favorite has all of those elements. So you may want to check that out. Or, of course, you can watch Bill Murray play a president, if you're so inclined. Because he's not going to do freaking Ghostbusters 3!
Even though you said he was.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman movie beat.
All right, we got some callers on the line for the Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey. This is where we go to you, the audience, and you help us decide something definitively true or false. And Kevin, you're going to love the question today because the question really is, am I a dick?
Are you a dick?
Yes. Am I a dick?
Okay, I'm answering yes.
I am too.
You haven't heard. You haven't heard the circumstance of the story yet.
I've heard enough.
So listen up, callers, and then we'll go to you, and then you guys get to vote to find out whether I'm a dick or not. So here's what happened. I went to the post office the other day, like I do, because I love the post office, as you know. And this is going to be hard for you to believe because of where you live, but I live on a little island without a lot of people, and there was nobody in the post office.
Right.
I was the only customer. When I pulled into the parking lot and looked into the post office, there was nobody else in the post office, okay?
Right.
But at the same time I pulled up, this lady pulled up. We both got out of our cars at the same time, and she was carrying a big box that she was going to mail.
Did you eye each other like, I'm going to beat you in there, and then take off running, both of you?
I wondered if she thought whether I was trying to just run in front of her to get to the door first because I wanted to be first in line. But in fact, I was running in front of her so that I could open the door for her so that she could go into the post office holding this large box, okay? So that's to get into the building. Then there's another door that you open to get into the place where the counters are, where the mail, you know, the employees are and everything like that, where you actually do your post office business. So I also opened that door for her and let her go in ahead of me. Here's where it gets tricky.
You kicked her down and went and got in line first.
I think that I opened up those doors for her so that she, because she had her hands full with this giant box that she was carrying, so that she could more easily get into the building. But at that point, once we're both in the post office,
she does not have to let you go first.
I think she has to let me go first.
What?
She keeps on walking because she went through the door before I did and walked right up to the counter and started doing her business. And I mean started doing her business in that, had a 10-minute chat with the person behind the counter, had her explain every possible delivery option. Oh, tell me about the receipt thing. Oh, how do I need insurance? Tell me about insurance. Oh, I'm just mailing this to my son. He lives in Alabama. I got him this for Christmas. It just went on and on and on while I'm standing there waiting to mail my freaking letter.
Why can't you just drop your letter in the outside or in the bin whatever?
I need to have it weighed. I need to have it weighed for postage. So you tell me, isn't her obligation once I've let her in the building to not go to the counter first and hog all my time?
Is that her obligation?
Wouldn't the nice thing for her to do be to go, hey, thanks for your help with the door. You were here first. You go right ahead.
That's why you never take the chance of opening the door for someone, Dee. You walk through it first.
I mean, but if a guy opens a door for me, I'm not thinking that now I'm going to wait for him to pass me so he can go first.
Now you owe him?
I don't
but
think
that. You're in a post office where you have a box where you are going to spend some time, and you know it's going to take some time at the counter.
I mean, if I'm at the grocery store and I have a bunch of stuff and somebody has...
One thing,
I let them go.
Right.
So because of that, yes. But not because you held the door.
But not because you
opened
the door.
Okay, so if I think that she should let me go ahead of her because I let her into the building first, I'm the dick. So your vote would both be, I'm the dick.
Yeah, because what if she just, you still think if she had a letter like you and just needed it weighed and got out of there that she still should have let you go first?
I think that would have been the nice thing to do, but I never even would have thought of it had that been the case. The fact that I had 10 minutes to stand there listening to her talk about her kid in Alabama, that made me think, hey, you're only there because I let you in first.
Right. But you're a dick, first of all, for liking the post office.
Okay.
Okay, so we start there.
Let's go to Crystal on line one. Remember, it's the first to three.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
First to three determines whether I'm a dick or not. Crystal, you heard the evidence. You heard what happened. Shouldn't the lady have let me go ahead of her in the post office after I held two doors for her so she could get in the building with her giant box?
She should have, maybe in the 1920s.
So I'm putting you down for Bean's a dick? Okay, Bean is a dick. Thank you for the call. Why in the 1920s? When people were polite? Is that what she said?
I don't know.
Danielle is up next on line two, the Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey. All right, Danielle, what say you?
Hey, so she's a dick for not offering.
Okay.
But Bean's a dick for expecting her to let him go.
Okay, so they're both dicks. So that's another dick for Bean.
Yeah,
another
vote for Bean's a dick.
All right, Danielle, thank you.
Wow, I don't like where this is going at all.
By the way, I agree with her.
I do, too.
The woman should have, but then you shouldn't expect it.
I shouldn't expect it? Why shouldn't I expect it?
Because that's
you did
not
the
why
gentlemanly
you,
thing.
That's
which
not
is,
why you open the door for
right.
her.
Right.
Okay, but why is it if you do something nice for somebody, it comes back to screw your day?
Hey, I thought scientific surveys were the end of the conversation.
Well, let's see if Chase is going to turn this train around. Chase on line 3, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. If you think I'm a dick, then this whole thing has been settled quickly. What do you say, dude?
No, she's a dick. She should have given... if she's going to go up there and spend all your time, then that's...
All right, now, Chase, let me just clarify. We're not voting on her. She may have been a dick because maybe she should have let Bean go. But is Bean a dick for expecting to go?
Oh, yeah. She probably knew who it was and then just...
That's probably true.
How
women hate Bean immediately. All right, so, Bean, would you accept that as 3 yes votes?
Well, clearly, yeah. He thought I was...
Bean's a dick! 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 What a dick! 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 Bean's a dick! 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 What a giant dick! Dick! Bean's a dick! 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 Bean's a dick! 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 Bean's a dick! 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 What a dick! 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 Dick!
That's enough.
Bean's a dick! 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 Dick!
Dick! Gotta take a break.
Bean's a... giant dick.
Come on.
Dick, dick, dickity dick. Dick, 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 dick. Bean's a dick. Bean, 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 bean is a dick. Bean, 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 bean is a dick. Bean, 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 bean is a dick. Bean, 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 bean is a dick. Dick, 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 dick.
Come on.
Dick, 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 dick.
Look how much time it took him to be a dick after giving a kidney.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
A new chapter of R. Kelly's masterpiece, Trapped in the Closet. What are we up to, Ralph, coming up after the top of the hour? Number 28?
28.
28.
Yeah,
can't
it's the
wait.
Return of Randolph and Rosie the Nosy Neighbor.
All right.
Oh, nice. All right. That's on the way. First, though, time for the showbiz beat.
This.
Ralph, you had a theory about a Bean and the woman at
about
the
being a dick?
Post office?
Yeah. The reason she didn't let him get in front of line in front of her at the post office?
Right.
Because that woman was the mother of the pregnant woman on the plane.
There you go.
Payback's a bitch.
It comes full circle.
That's right.
That'd be something.
It was all an elaborate revenge scheme. No, I won't give you my seat, pregnant woman. Oh, yeah, but the mother of the pregnant woman is supposed to let you in front of her at the post office? I say, no, sir.
That woman waited for Bean probably for 2 weeks.
She stood there with a box. She stood there looking out with a picture of him in one hand, just looking at everybody going through. Oh, this is the guy. This is the guy.
That's him.
Well, the revenge was served cold and very effectively, I might tell you.
Dick. This is horrible news. This it just broke my heart. This morning when I found out. Remember those DJs? There's two Yahoo DJs who did Confess Your Crime and had people call in. Oh, no, wait. That's a different story. These two guys from Australia who pretended to be the Queen and Prince Charles calling the hospital where Kate Middleton was regarding her pregnancy.
Right.
And they got
right.
personal information out of her and they got through and it was just a big nightmare. Well... the receptionist at the private hospital who put them through.
Oh, no.
Has apparently committed suicide.
Oh,
no.
What?
No way.
Please tell me you're kidding.
No.
What?
She was found unconscious and later died.
No way.
Oh, my God.
By first responders.
An overreaction.
Well, look, this is a big deal in the UK. To us, it's sort of like a funny prank, but apparently it's becoming quite the...
wow!
The hot button there in the UK. And She was responsible for putting the DJs through, and she was the one who was catching an enormous amount of heat from friends and family as well as her employers. And they haven't come to a 100% conclusion, but they do suspect it was suicide. She was pronounced dead at the scene.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. I don't know whether what the DJs did based on Australian communication laws was against the law or not. But do they have any liability here?
No.
I don't know. I don't know, because this station is already serving 2 5-year license probations. They're on probation with their broadcast license after several serious breaches of the broadcasting code there in Australia. So I don't know, maybe due to their prior history.
Wow.
I mean,
not that they could have ever predicted that prank phone call would have led to a death, certainly, but... Yeah. Oh, my God, that's a terrible story.
So that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
Wow.
They did obtain personal information about Kate through that phone conversation, and it was an embarrassment to Australia as well as to the station and to the particular DJs.
The Queen in England probably forced her to kill herself.
Yeah. Listen, we've done plenty of harebrained things on our show. How come Mug never kills himself over something that we've done?
An even better question.
We embarrass ourselves. Why isn't wasn't he found unresponsive sometime? Someplace?
Oh, he's found unresponsive all the time,
but he's still alive. That's the problem?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Wow, that's something.
That is something, isn't it? Justin Bieber didn't get a single Grammy nomination.
Love it.
And his manager is furious.
Love it even more.
Scooter Braun, his manager, went on a Twitter rant Wednesday night after the nominations were announced. He tweeted, "This time there won't be any wise words, no excuses. I just plain disagree. The kid deserved it. Grammy board, you blew it on this one." Yeah, they did.
He's a douche.
Yeah. Your name's Scooter. Shut up, Scooter. You represent a tool. That's right. Paramore is now a trio.
Oh, yeah?
Of course, the guitarist and drummer Josh and Zach Farrow split in 2010 from the band, but the guitarist Taylor Work and Jeremy Davis, their bassist, and of course Haley Williams, still fronting the band. They have announced the release date of their fourth album, simply called Paramore. It'll be out on April the 9th.
Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan of Paramore as I am?
Yes, as are you. Dave's so excited. Oh, new Paramore is going to come out in April.
Not my fault.
You'll be hearing the first single, which is called Now, very soon, according to sources. So they're going to drop
it. Shouldn't we be hearing it now?
Wow.
Really?
Wow. I'm not even going to put that in the file because we all know you would take that back.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's just a given.
And my hometown of Philadelphia is very upset. They've been invaded
by
Little Lauren.
She could invade a city?
Yeah.
By herself?
All by herself. She came into Philadelphia last Wednesday night, and everyone was spotting her around town, down Center City. And friends of mine said, yeah, a friend of mine just saw Lindsay Lohan. They don't know what's going on. They were trying to put the pieces together. It turns out The Wanted was playing in Philadelphia on Wednesday night. Now, Max George from The Wanted, this is the guy she followed into that nightclub in New York where she got into the fist fight with the effing gypsy. Remember?
She's got laser focus, doesn't she?
She really is.
Man, I'm locked
stalking
in
at this on
point.
Max.
Wow.
Rumors are swirling. Now, I can't get a confirmation, but this is again from sources of mine in Philadelphia, that she hitched a ride on his tour bus to the band's show in Boston. So she got to Philly. She apparently hooked up with this guy, and she went like a groupie. She weaseled her way onto the tour bus and went to the next show in Boston.
Yeah, she strikes me as a pass around.
Yeah, she's airtight in that bus. That's all I know.
Philadelphia, period.
Hey,
I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die.
Come on!
Philadelphia.
Hey, it's a good city.
That guy has been saying it all his life, though, I can vouch.
Today's celebrity birthday is Emily Browning, the adorable little girl from Sucker Punch and Sleeping Beauty. She's 24 years old. Today, Jennifer Carpenter, Dexter's sister and used to be wife of the real guy, 33 years old today. Shiri Appleby from Roswell and Life Unexpected is 34. Terrell Owens, he used to be a football player. Next, he's going to be diving off a high board on television. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Man, oh, man.
He's 39. C. Thomas Howell is 46. A caller reminded me that C. Thomas Howell also had a great guest spot on Alphas this past season. Remember, right,
He is the most active career in Hollywood.
Forgot about that. He was the alpha who could move really fast. Remember, he was aging super quickly because of his metabolism, but he was super fast?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Larry Bird, Basketball Hall of Famer, is 56 years old. And singer Tom Waits is 63. Kevin had never heard Tom Waits sing, and he didn't know that he had perhaps the most beautiful singing voice in all of music. So we did want to bring in a little Tom Waits if you're not familiar with his work. He's 63 years old today. Please sit back, relax, crank up the radio if you're enjoying your breakfast. Enjoy the dulcet tones of Tom Waits.
You're the edge on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that got lost.
All right, wait, hold on. That's one of those comedy songs that we play.
Nope.
That's not the right
that's
one.
The real guy.
What?
That is Tom Waits.
You're the letter from Jesus on the bathroom wall. Your mother's superior with only a bra. You're the same.
No possible way is that real.
Legendary Tom Waits.
Oh.
Never sounded better.
My God. Wow.
We apologize, Omar, for every bad thing we ever said about your singing.
Wow, that's real.
We should do Tom Waits on Maroki. That's what we should do.
That exists.
Yeah, he's for real. He's 63. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have an incredibly busy show. So much to do between now and 10 o'clock. So let's get right to it. Steve-O is waiting in the wings. He'll be coming in a few minutes. But first, though, Chapter 28 of R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet. Oh. Ralph Garman is back. Where are we?
Oh, it's so sweet. Well, so far with the new chapters, we have revisited with Tawan and Sylvester. And, of course, Pimp Lucius,
sure.
Stuttering Pimp. Then we spent some time with Dr. Perry and his new patients, the married couple of Rufus and Kathy. Rufus, of course, had a gay affair with Chuck. Kathy had the affair with Sylvester, who was literally in the closet at the beginning of the last bunch of chapters. And now we're also stopping by to visit with two of our favorite characters, Randolph and his wife Rosie, the nosy neighbor.
Oh yeah, holding a spatula. I remember that.
Yeah, they're back again. Rosie, I think, was the breakout character really.
Is that right?
Bunch, because she was supposed to be just like sort of a one off, and she became so popular that they had to put her in the sequel. And here she is with her her old husband Randolph. They're both elderly, busybodies, and they're trying to get some sleep, as you know, old people like to do.
Sure,
but Randolph, despite being 69 or 89, depending on who you ask, Rosie says 89, he says 69, just can't get sleep. Just can't get sleep. He's got something on his mind. Something's weighing heavily on his mind. He needs to ask Rosie a very important question.
Did you mean that?
Did I mean what?
Did you really, really mean that?
Did I really, really mean what?
Oh, come on.
That night you said what you said.
And what did I say?
You know what you said. You're the one who said it.
You're the one who said it. You know what you said.
Without, Do we know what he said?
We don't know yet what he said.
Huh.
What could he possibly have said that would make... What could Rosie have said that would make Randolph so upset?
Huh.
Well,
huh.
We're going to find out.
You call me Mr. Can't Get It Up.
Oh, Randolph, I'm not doing this with you tonight.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, no, I'm not.
I want to talk about it, Rosie. So just wake your ass on up.
Yeah, I'm gonna wake up all right. Wake up and take my ass on in the other room.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna follow you.
Yeah, Randolph's gonna follow. He's not gonna let him get away that easily.
So he's Mr. Can't Get It Up now?
Yeah, Mr. Can't Get It Up is what she called him.
That hurts.
So
that's cold.
We know, first of all, that Randolph is sensitive. And secondly, we know Rosie is the worst insulter ever.
Yeah.
The guy can't get up. You're Mr. Can't Get It Up, man. That's who you are.
That's what I'm going to call you.
She couldn't call him Mr. Softy. She couldn't call him, you know, anything more interesting than Mr. Can't Get It Up. So Randolph does make good on his threat to follow her around the apartment until he gets some answers to that insult that still bugs him. And he will not let Rosie off the hook.
I'm going to follow you.
Oh, you're a mess.
Yeah. Now I'm a mess. Call it what you want, cause tonight I'ma get the shit off my chest.
Yeah, that's right, Rosie and Randolph and got into an argument again.
Yeah.
Some of y'all may think they hate each other, but if you ask me, I would say they're best friends. You don't shut the hell up.
Oh, you shut the hell up.
Yeah, well, you can tell they're best friends. By the way, they treat each other with such mutual respect. Now, Rosie just wants to go to sleep. She doesn't want to deal with this. It's late. She's tired. Randolph won't let this Mr. Can't Get It Up thing go. Rosie just wants to get some sleep.
Sure.
Folks trying to get some sleep around here.
Well, ain't nobody gonna get no sleep.
And why is that? Well, I won't tell you why.
Yeah. Oh, will someone tell someone something in this story?
Nothing's happened so far.
We're 2 minutes in, and we really, all that we know is she said, Mr., I can't get it up. So no one's going to get any sleep. Why? Why threatens Randolph? Well, unfortunately, we find out why no one's going to get any sleep.
Because I got something to show you, Rosie.
No,
yeah,
no.
Nope. And just what the hell it is you got to show
no.
me. I got something to show you, Rosie.
No.
Yeah. All the hell with this, I'm going to bed. But not till I show you, Rosie.
No.
What are you doing? Said I got something for you. Randolph, I know you better not do it. I think you about to do it. Said I got something for you.
No.
I want it, and I'm going to show you. I'm not going to look here, cause I'm about to turn these lights out. No need for that. And why is that? Because when I take this here out, this whole room going to go blind. Lord have mercy, you done lost your damn mind.
Yeah, yeah. No need to turn off the lights because when I take this out, the whole room's going to go black.
So wait, he's just threatening her with his penis.
That's what's going on.
That is spectacular.
It's 2 minutes on him threatening to reach into his long johns and pull out his giant black penis. That's what he's threatening to do.
Wow. This is a song that was written and recorded and released, you guys.
I'm not going to look. But the question is, was Randolph really going to do that? Or is he just trying to upset Rosie? Well, here's the big reveal.
I got you, didn't I?
You ain't get.
Didn't I get you?
No.
I got you.
Get the dough.
I got your ass.
Oh, hell.
All hell is right. Who just ringing my bell?
He was just kidding. He wasn't really going to bring out his penis.
What?
He was just rattling her cage.
But I thought she wanted his penis. She was complaining that he doesn't get it up.
No, she doesn't want. She wants to go to bed. She doesn't want to deal with it. He's like, oh, I'm going to show you who can't get it up. And then turns out.
So that whole thing was a joke.
It's all a big prank from Randolph threatening to pull out his massive black junk in front of his wife. That's all it was. But someone's ringing the doorbell.
Right.
And we don't know who that person is. Who could be ringing his doorbell? That will be, I'm assuming, the next chapter.
However, that's where we leave it. Oh, man.
What R. Kelly does now, he has a little bonus clips sprinkled throughout these chapters where it is sit-down interviews with the characters in character as if they're being filmed for a documentary about what's happening in their lives.
I hope he plays all of them.
He does.
Okay, good.
They're sort of interstitial between the chapters, and I haven't been really playing them because it's basically just a recap of what we've seen, but I was so impressed by Rosie's interview to the documentarian that was filming that I just thought we'd add it on.
Ever since I called Randolph, Mr. can't get it up. He been out of his mind. Walking around the house, grabbing his stuff. Who does that at 89?
Damn it, I'm 69.
Shut up and wait your turn. You see what I mean? Got something to show me. Well, ain't nobody trying to see that little thing.
No, wow. She didn't.
Just a little recap there. With a hard rocking version of the Trapped in the Closet theme behind it. This thing's already off the rails. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Can't wait.
But we just spent 3 minutes watching an elderly black man threaten to pull his penis out. That's what that was about.
Just another Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Played that like we meant it.
That's right, man. With no irony.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 28 minutes after 7 o'clock. Steve-O has a giant problem with the headphones over there. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
What's
happening? I can't figure it out.
Kind of not.
Can you hear us all right, Steve-O?
I can hear you, yeah.
He's rolling around on the ground trying to get it untangled. I don't know what's happening.
I never thought I would say this, but I almost think that at this point, now that Steve-O is the host of the program on television that the New York Times calls, quote, the greatest show in television history, end quote, I almost think that he's too good for this show. We may lose him to better radio shows because
that's
he's
true.
Too big a star now to come in and slum with Kevin and Bean. But welcome, Steve-O.
Thank you so much, man.
The greatest show in television history is what the New York Times said about Killer Karaoke. What did that do to your mind when you heard that?
Well, I thought that the person who told me about it was joking and being mean at the same time.
Of course, like trying to cut you down, sort of.
Yeah, mean.
Of course.
And then it turned out it was true, and I don't know what to say. It's beyond surprising.
This is a show, Killer Karaoke, where they are supposed to sing a song, and then you torture them, and while they're trying to sing a song,
right,
and the idea is to keep singing. So you were pitched to us as a guest, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago or something.
Uh-huh.
And we saw the trailer for it, and we were like, oh, no, Steve-O. Oh, this is... we had this conversation. Like, Steve-O's one of our favorite people. We'd have him in for anything, but this looks awful. So let's do him a favor and just pass. And whatever his next project is, remember this whole conversation, whatever his next project is, we'll wholeheartedly support it because we love Steve-O. But this one, let's just let go. And then we watched it, and I brought in clips.
Let this one get canceled quietly.
And we watched it, and I brought in clips, and I was like, this is the greatest show that has ever existed in television history.
All right.
It was unbelievable, the turnaround.
We'll get to some clips in the next segment with Steve-O, but I want to hear about it from your perspective because, let's face it, you're a guy who gets pitched stuff all the time. They come to you and they say, Steve-O, write a book. You write a book. They come to you and say, Steve-O, be on Dancing with the Stars.
Well, the book was my
idea.
But, yeah.
One was your idea? This TV show?
No, the book was my idea.
Okay.
But this was not
you must my get, idea. You must get pitched a lot of stuff, though. What is it about Killer Karaoke that you thought, yes, I'm in?
Well,
it's the jackass mentality, I imagine.
Wait, you know what? Here's what it is. You guys know that I've been working hard on sort of establishing myself as a comedian and, doing stand-up and all that. Here's an opportunity for me to work in the capacity of a comedian host, not just a guy who hurts himself and shoves things up his butt.
No, other people have to do that
right.
stuff.
and you've got all this crazy stunts going on. I feel it's kind of faithful to my brand in some sort of way.
It is.
And it's sort of a step towards having a career beyond Jackass that doesn't involve hurting myself. Mm-hmm. So I think that all makes it kind of work. And to be honest, man, I like watching people sing Lynyrd Skynyrd while they're getting electrocuted the whole time is hilarious.
It was just a good fit. Now, what are the – I mean, the people on the show don't know what's going to be done to
Correct.
Them. The instructions are, though, you just keep singing, right? No matter what happens to you,
Correct.
Your job as a contestant is to just keep singing, right?
Right. It's so simple.
And what do they win? What's the payoff for the contestant?
This is probably the funniest part. The one person who wins has a chance of going home with up to $10,000. And they say up to because nobody will ever win $10,000. It's like one of those carnival games that you just can't win.
Right.
You know?
No, you can spend a lifetime of money on it and you'll never get that stupid ball
right.
to stay in or whatever.
Right.
Has there ever been a case, Steve-O, where somebody got hurt on doing the show?
You're not going to see anybody get hurt on the show. No.
You're not going to see it.
It doesn't mean it wasn't filmed.
Really?
Tell us more, Steve-O.
There's one slip and fall thing, but I shouldn't talk about it anyway. It was just
too late.
Yeah, no, it was just a very innocent little slip and fall.
Okay. Okay. And, right, well, that's easy to see how something like that could happen.
Sure.
But there must be a team, and again, we're talking about Killer Karaoke, which airs Friday nights on True TV. There must be a team of people who come up with things. What would be difficult yet hilarious for us to do to these people while they sing?
Do you talk to the contestants, or do they
sure,
talk to the,
yeah.
about what they're afraid of?
There is an interview process, and wherever we can cater to someone's specific fears, we do.
Yeah.
But most of the times it's just, whatever, electrocute them.
Sure.
Those people don't like that.
Yeah.
Nobody does like
everybody
that.
Everybody hates that.
Look, it's the only reality show I've ever seen where they bring out skunks. I mean, that's what's going on with Killer Karaoke.
What do they do with skunks?
All right, we need to take a break, unfortunately. We'll come back and talk about it more. It is Fridays at 9 on True TV. It's called Killer Karaoke. It's hosted by Steve-O, and it is, as the New York Times says, the greatest
show in television history.
That's right. Well,
coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning, by the way, the guys from Epic Mealtime are going to be here, so I hope everybody's hungry. In the meantime, Steve-O from Killer Karaoke, which airs Friday nights on True TV. What? Why are you laughing?
It's just I've never heard that before. Steve-O from Killer Karaoke.
Well, you're the host, man. You're a big-time TV star now.
No, that's right.
On True TV.
I'm the white trash Ryan Seacrest.
Steve-O was telling us during the song, and I don't think I'm breaking a confidence to repeat this, that he heard us making fun of another reality show called Oh Sit on the CW, which really is one of the worst things we've ever seen. And you were kind of afraid of what we were going to think
right,
of Killer Karaoke
right.
after that, right?
I heard you guys bagging on Jamie Kennedy in that show. And
well,
I
he's
thought,
also Jamie Kennedy. That
right.
doesn't help.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And then wow. I thought, oh, man. And I did. I got a little bit scared of what you
You have nothing to fear because you're on a gold mine here, man. Let's. What kind of clips you got? A little bit of Killer Karaoke for folks who haven't seen it yet.
I have Ramblin' Man and the guy that's getting tased. Do you want to set up exactly our shock?
Well, here's the deal. We strap dog shock collars to their limbs and their neck, but
Both arms, both legs.
Both arms, both legs, yeah. And they sing, and then they're carrying around trays of food, serving me a meal while they're singing and getting electrocuted. So at the end of the day, they're just dropping trays of food and drink everywhere.
And the key to the show is they can't stop singing.
Well,
no matter what, it
would be unwise to stop singing.
Because then they wouldn't get a chance to win up to $10,000.
They could win $900 if they win the show. But how much worse could it be for them if they stop singing, if they're already being shocked with a dog collar if they are singing?
See, the thing is that the audience votes one winner through each round. So if you stop singing, then, you know,
it's nothing to go on. You can't.
The audience isn't going to vote you through. You know, you have to be committed.
All right, here's that dude. And you can tell when the shock collars are going off.
Lord, I was born a rambling man, trying to make a living and doing the best I can. When it's time for leaving, don't you understand? Well, I was born a rambling man. My father was a gambler down in Georgia.
Now, Steve-O, the audience is laughing. Is there anyone in the audience who's just horrified, who just feels terrible for these contestants?
The audience are just bloodthirsty, bad people.
Yeah. It really is. It's gladiator time. It's gladiator time. It's the Romans.
I think they're cast specifically for their thirst for blood.
I like it. All right. Now, the next clip we have is a woman who's singing Take On Me by A-ha.
Yep.
Do they get to choose their own music?
I think they choose from a list of tunes that have been pre-cleared.
So, and then you put her in a chair, and then you lift the chair up and you move it over a tank of water.
Right, and then
what do you do?
Well, I clip them in, so even if they want to get out of the it's more of like a swing
right,
seat.
Right.
And so they can't get out even if they want to. And then once they start singing, they get hoisted up into the air and then lowered into a large tank of water.
Which is what temperature?
I'm not even sure.
40-ish?
It was cold. They were saying
it was
ice cold. I don't know how cold it really was, but that's what's so besides the point.
Okay.
Because when we lower them into the water, you know, I guess we lower them into the water first.
Right.
And they think, oh, this is horrible. And then we lift them up and then we start piling snakes into the
buckets
water.
Buckets of snakes.
Of course you do.
Buckets
you do.
Full of snakes.
Right.
Just
and
like
then,
an American Idol.
And then lower her back in.
Right.
Her feet are hanging in the water with the snakes.
I know. It would be so awesome to do that to Bam.
Yes, it would. Bam would freak. He would freak.
And I'm not much less afraid of snakes than Bam is.
Yeah. Well, this girl did a decent job.
I know.
At first, she did a decent job.
Hey, you're true, yeah.
Come on, that's a singing show I can get behind. Come on. Then you put like a baby alligator in or something?
A couple alligators.
It's basically, it's just torturing human beings.
Yep.
While they sing.
It is.
Steve-O
is
just the man to do it.
It might be the greatest TV show in the history of the medium.
It might be. Steve-O, what's the future of Killer Karaoke? What are they telling you now that it's on the air?
Well, I do believe that we will be shooting
some more.
Shooting some more.
Excellent.
And there's a little lab full of people just tirelessly coming up with ways to torture people.
Is it great? Is it so great for you to be in the middle of the spotlight and have other people be the ones getting tortured?
You know, that when the first time somebody asked me that, you know, what's it like to be on the other side of the
stunt?
The answer that came to me is that it's like an erection lasting more than 4 hours. You know, it feels great, but it's very unnatural for me.
Right. Do you have to go to the emergency room, or how far does that go?
Well, we could not be prouder of you, Steve-O, as always, but we're also so happy to have been wrong about this Killer Karaoke.
Well, thank you so much.
You're really hanging on a comet with this one, man. Just don't ever let it go. It's awesome. Friday nights on True TV at 9 o'clock. It's a great show, Steve-O. We probably won't see you again, but thank you so much for coming in today, and happy holidays
to
you, my friend.
I love you guys very, very much, and thank you.
You're the best.
Yeah.
Ralph Garman has the latest in the world. Oh, showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
How do you spell that name? D-J-N-A-N-G-O. Django. D is silent. Come on!
It's awesome to be a silent.
Django Unchained, the new Quentin Tarantino movie coming out soon. I can't wait to see it. If you, like me, are a Quentin Tarantino fan, you're going to love this. I've got two Blu-ray box sets to give away. Tarantino 20, they're called. Tarantino XX. It's an eight-film collection, including the films that helped define Quentin's early success. 20 years he's been making movies, and this box set celebrates that. Beautiful Blu-ray copies of these films, including two additional discs with 5 hours of all new bonus material. So if you are a Quentin fan, this is the thing for you. You get Reservoir Dogs, True Romance, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill Volumes 1 and 2, Death Proof, and Inglourious Basterds. This is just a great collection. I've got two to give away, but I want to give them to real Tarantino fans. So I've been asking Quentin Tarantino trivia all week long. Here's the latest one. Quentin's known as a California boy. Of course, grew up in Torrance, California. Later moved to Harbor City. However, not born in California. Born in another city in these great United States of ours. Spent his first 2 years in another city. Do you know the city where Quentin Tarantino was born? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Call right now if you know the answer to that question. Quentin's hometown.
Mumford, Tennessee. Hello.
It was not Mumford, Tennessee.
Hello. Toledo, Ohio.
Not,
hello.
Not Toledo, Ohio. Nope.
Oklahoma City. Hello.
Nope. Not that either.
All right.
Hope Larry gets it right.
Glenda's there. Taylor Swift is a whore.
Correct.
Nope.
All right. Next story. No, she is. She's spreading her legs for somebody new these days. She can't take
meaning,
things slow.
Meaning she was in slow. A photograph with somebody is what
meaning
you mean, right?
She is getting the banana in the tailpipe.
How do we know that? Because if there's a video, I want to see it.
Because she's a whore. Because she is Satan's daughter. Because
oh,
she
no.
is a succubus.
She's a whore.
She's a succubus. She will remove your soul.
That's correct.
She broke up with poor Connor Kennedy, a little 18-year-old guy she shattered when she busted up with him. Now she's moving along with Harry Styles from One Direction.
Mm-hmm.
Friends say she's already calling him her boyfriend.
Whore.
I'd like to point out, by the way, I think this is the longest lasting relationship she's ever had. Hasn't it been like 7 or 8 days?
It has been, yes. Friends are worried that this is the same story repeating itself over and over again. And once again, she'll move too fast for the guy. He'll freak out. Things will go poorly. And then she'll have another hit song. So that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, for her it works out.
Yeah, but for the rest of us, we get punished.
I love Taylor, but I have to agree with the room that she has a maturity problem. She is a 15-year-old, 22-year-old is what she is.
Yep. Well, you know why.
Whore.
Satan's daughter. Yeah. That's why.
Everyone's a dumb whore.
Yes. And evil is not mature. I've always said that.
Never heard you say that.
It doesn't make any sense. That's why I would never say that.
Let alone!
Speaking of immature... Spotted in my hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania this week. Why, people wondered. Why would she be in Philadelphia? The jewelry
why would anybody be in Philadelphia?
Bite me. The jewelry stores there have excellent security. Why would she be in Philadelphia? Well, it turns out that her boyfriend, and by boyfriend I mean guy she's stalking, the guy from The Wanted, Max George, was performing there Wednesday night, so she was there to see the show. Rumor has it, she finagled her way onto his tour bus and hitched a ride to the band's Boston show, too. So she was traveling with the band afterwards.
Hmm. With the whole band.
With the whole band.
Yeah.
By the whole band. I mean, she was the whole band.
Come on.
The band whole.
Come on.
Whole band.
I think we get it.
Lady in our hand says this week also to In Touch magazine, she wants to be a mom.
No,
that's a great idea.
That will settle her.
That will settle her down and give her some focus.
Oh,
and I think
no.
it's the perfect life choice for Lindsay is to be a mom. She says she plans to adopt. She wants to adopt a son, she says, because girls are harder and she doesn't want a mini me. Well, no one wants that, Lindsay. No one wants
that. You have your head up your ass.
But given the excellent example that her own parents have set
That's
for
true.
Her. I think they have passed along good parenting skills, and I think she would be great as a mom.
That's bullshit.
Especially a single mom having to deal all that responsibility on her own with no help from a husband or significant other. I think it's a wise, wise choice.
What could go wrong?
I'm looking forward to seeing the results.
You know, it's interesting, Ralph, as you do the Taylor Swift and the Lindsay Lohan stories back-to-back, does Lindsay Lohan ever have a boyfriend? Does she even date?
Oh, what do you mean by date?
You know what I mean?
She dated the band.
Like prostitutes date?
It just doesn't doesn't seem like she ever has a boyfriend, which is
weird.
Her
longest relationship was her lesbian one with Samantha Ronson.
Samantha, yeah. Is she just so honked up that no guy, even though she's hot, could stand to be with her?
I want to say, for some reason, I remember early on, before Samantha Ronson, wasn't she with Jared Leto for an extended period of time?
Oh, I don't know.
Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, well, she used to be a fairly normal person, too. Yeah, but in recent years, it just seems like she's just she's an oddball.
Yeah. And now while we're talking about relationships, Tim Tebow of the New York Jets has apparently found the one in Camilla Bell. Actress Camilla Bell, In Touch Weekly, says that Tim has already introduced her to his mom and dad. And they really like the fact she comes from a strict Catholic family and volunteers with children. I hope she has a high-paying job. Because Tim's going to be out of work soon.
Yeah.
Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I think Richard was the first guy through with the correct answer. Richard?
Hello.
Hello, sir. Quentin Tarantino's hometown, please.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
You do not think of Tennessee when you think of Quentin. Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're winning the Tarantino XX Blu-ray box set. And congratulations also to Jason, who was the second caller through with the right answer. Here's the celebrity birthdays for the day. Emily Browning from Sleeping Beauty and Sucker Punch. I know that Sucker Punch was a hard movie to get through for a lot of people.
I liked it.
But I liked it, too.
I'm surprised to hear you say that. No, I thought I was the only one.
No, I really enjoyed it. It's a bit of a convoluted mess, but I found it sort of stylish and fun to watch.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I kind of enjoyed it on a superficial level. She was great in it, 24 years old today. Jennifer Carpenter from Dexter, 33 years old. Sherry Appleby from Roswell and Life Unexpected, 34 years old. Terrell Owens, who I announced earlier today, is going to be on that Fox show about celebrities high diving.
Yeah.
He used to be an NFL, one of the elite
superstar,
NFL
yeah.
wide receivers.
Yeah. Yep.
39 years old today. C. Thomas Howell is 46. Larry Bird, Basketball Hall of Famer, 56 years old today.
Ugliest white man ever? Ugliest man ever?
No.
I don't think so.
Certainly
he's high.
He's not the ugliest man ever. That's
please.
A ridiculous statement. That's he may be the one of the ugliest NBA players ever.
I think it goes outside the NBA.
No, that's ridiculous.
He's a hideous blow pig.
56 years old today. And singer Tom Waits. Handsome, talented, and a voice like an angel. He is 63
he does
years
it all.
Old today. You want a little taste of Tom Waits?
I'm dying to play this again because I can't imagine that it's actually real.
A little time for Tommy Waits.
You're the head, you're on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that got lost. You're the letter from Jesus on the bathroom wall. Your mother's superior with only a bra. You're the same.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll tell you something that's going to blow your mind, Kevin, is that's the title track from his critically acclaimed Bad As Me album that came out last year that was on many critics' top 10 albums of the year list for last year.
Yeah, they were punking you.
Yeah, those
critics were punking you. Like, let's see what crap we can put on our list and people will still buy it.
Let's throw in Waits. You think they'll buy Waits?
Oh, no, that's going too far. No, let's see what happens. Let's put them on the list. Right after Wing. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Speaking of Linkin Park, 1 hour from right now, you can win your tickets to see Linkin Park along with the Killers and Jack White and Fun and Bush and Garbage and so many more. We're talking about the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We're almost there, kids. The shows are this weekend. We've got the tickets for you just after 9 o'clock this morning. Then again at 12, 10, 3, 10, and 6, 10. Pit tickets and backstage passes. Details at KRock.com.
I know what's going on here.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Internet's top cooking show, which is not what you expected to hear about on today's Kevin and Bean program, because that's only because you haven't yet seen Epic Mealtime, which is epic. And the host of the program, Harley Morenstein, joins us in studio right now.
What up,
hey, Harley, how
thank
are you,
for
man?
Having me.
Of
Harley,
course.
A.K.A. Sauce Boss, A.K.A. Michael Jordan of Meat, A.K.A. Justin Bieber Bacon, A.K.A. Snoop Dogg of Steak. A.K.A. Jeff Goldblum of Jamaican Jerk Chicken.
Exactly. The Jeff Goldblum of Jamaican Jerk Chicken. That's your undisputed.
I don't even know what it means.
I wanted that
you
title.
You can take it. You can borrow it.
Can I?
Yeah,
all right.
You got that today. You're Jeff Goldblum of Jamaican Jerk Chicken.
First of all, congratulations on the ridiculous success of Epic Mealtime. We have so many questions for you, starting with, what's your background? How did you come to be the host of a cooking show on the Internet?
Well, I'm a teacher, so the fact that I host the number one cooking show in the world makes no sense at all.
Right.
And just goes to show you how crazy it is in 2012. And I'm always like, it happens once a week, I'm like, what am I doing?
What am I? Yeah. I have no idea what's going on.
What did you say? Your teacher? Your teacher of what kind?
Elementary, high school.
Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't done it for 2 years, and no one believes that I did do it.
Did you have any training in to be a chef?
No, nothing. And the guys on the show, none of them had training. None of us. And I think that's the beauty of it, is it's just so dumb. Just a bunch of dummies in the kitchen. It's kind of dangerous when you really think about it. Don't do it. Don't do what we do at home.
Right. What was the idea? Where did it spark from?
You know, just grabbing some drinks in the backyard with my buddies, and it was like, you know, when you have those moments, wouldn't it be crazy if we did this?
Right.
We actually did it.
Most of the time you laugh it off and move on to the next. Yeah.
We didn't move on. And now this is what we do every single week. We are making 100,000 calorie meals, wrapping them in bacon, dumping liquor all over them, and getting drunk while we eat.
It's not a diet show.
Listen, it's tough, but, you know, we're doing it for you guys. You know? We do it for
Look,
you guys.
I get fat watching it. I do know that. Why is that the direction you guys decided to go, is over the top, crazy, crazy food, like anything you can possibly imagine, throw into a pot?
You know, the point was never like, oh my God, wouldn't it be crazy if, like, you know, we should totally shock people. We were just doing it, and it just escalated.
Wait,
very
you were
quickly.
Just doing that naturally?
We threw burgers on a pizza and we're like, that's funny and fun. And then before we knew it, we were stuffing 50 birds inside 10 pigs and attaching them like rear to mouth, wrapping them all in bacon, garnishing them with Baconators. And that's when I was like, whoa. A year later, I'm like, what are we? What are
what
we?
What are you is a great question.
Yeah, we're monsters. We're horrible, monsters. Horrible monsters.
But I will tell you what I love is, no matter how ridiculous the item is that you make, and I'm thinking particularly of the burgers stuffed in the ravioli, it's not like you make it for yucks. You make it and eat it. You sit down at the end of every show and you actually eat every bit of it.
Listen, like, you like ravioli, you like burgers. Well, you'll like burger ravioli.
That's
I
not
don't
necessarily
doubt that.
True, by the way.
It is on Epic Mealtime, I'm telling you.
Okay.
I've noticed that the sum of all parts is greater than the individual ingredients added.
But I'm going to suggest most of the time that's true. Sometimes it's got to backfire and just be nasty.
Yeah. If you like turtle soup and you like Jack Daniels, I have news for you. You're not going to like Jack Daniels turtle soup. I tried it. That was bad.
All right, good.
But aside from Epic Mealtime, we also have Epic Chef, which is next Friday. We basically took the whole Epic mentality and applied it to a competitive-based cooking show.
Okay.
So we got like two dweebs. We pit them head-to-head, give them secret ingredients, a briefcase filled with bacon, a bottle of liquor. They got a time limit, and I'm literally in their face the entire time.
Yelling and screaming?
Oh, it's horrible. I feel bad when we're looking at the edits. I'm like, I feel bad for these guys. This is a grown man here, and I'm like fully drunk yelling in his face, and he's dealing with like a hot pot of oil. Well, you know, it's the internet, you know?
Yeah.
How does somebody win Epic Chef? Do you decide which one tastes better at the end?
Yep. It's me with some guest judges. We have some fun people on the show, and we basically, you know, we give them the thumbs up or
I'm guessing no one wins. I'm just guessing you do it for the fun of it.
No, you lose. You come on the show, you lose.
Right.
Automatically. You're okay. Getting, like, liquor thrown in your face. It's hot. The fire's going on in the kitchen, and I'm on your ass nonstop.
Now, the people that you have on, are they trained to be a chef at all?
Way more than me.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Way more than the guy in their face yelling?
Yeah, exactly. Tell them that they're doing it wrong. But that's it. The whole show is about wrong. It's about doing it wrong. I remember we had a real chef early on, and he was like, I was like, oh yeah, we'll just take some veal and put some cheddar on it. He's like, oh, you don't mix veal and cheddar. And I was like, get out. You don't tell me what you can't mix. As far as I'm concerned, if they both fit in the bowl, I mixed it. All right?
Now, we're going to hear some tape in the next segment here from the program. Again, we're talking to Harley from Epic Mealtime here on the Kevin B. and Sean Kerrig. But before we break, just because I want to see Lisa's face as you describe this, if you can remember, Harley, the dessert that you made.
I remember everything.
Tell me the dessert that you made, the stuff that you put on that monstrosity, because it had to be well over 100,000 calories.
Which one?
Which dessert?
Which dessert?
Geez, I'm sorry. It had to involve cinnamon. It had to involve chocolate.
Oh,
I mean,
cinnamon.
Just...
Yeah, the cinnamon burger. The Cinnaburger.
Okay. Is everything a burger with you?
You know what? I love hamburgers. Does anyone here not love hamburgers?
I love hamburgers,
right?
As well.
No. They're so good. And right. Really, hamburgers is just a sandwich, really.
Right.
No. Right? Why do we give it that special title, hamburger? It's just a sandwich, but... Whatever, give it to it. I love it. Cinnaburger was we took huge cinnamon rolls and mixed it up with some candy bacon, which is bacon with some cinnamon brown sugar. We usually add some whiskey to that and a ton of chocolate.
Okay.
We made a huge patty out of chocolate Rice Krispie squares.
Okay.
And, just put a pound of like peanut butter candy bacon on top of it.
This is the greatest meal I've ever heard of.
Yeah, piled it up like about a foot high and cut it up into pieces. Yeah, it was really disgusting. It really really
sounds
destroys
terrible.
Your teeth. Yeah, it was great. I loved it. I loved every second of it. It's just when you're done that, you kind of like... Like, you know, you're in bed late and you're holding your gut and you're like, oh, this is bigger now.
I made this bigger
tonight.
Yeah. All right. The program is called Epic Mealtime. EpicMealtime.com. Follow on Twitter at Epic Mealtime. And, of course, Epic Chef premiering next Friday. We'll talk more with our guest, Harley, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Like a kitchen samurai, we slice precise and start constructing our fast food ravioli. This ain't Food Network. Ain't nobody throwing full burgers and bacon in their ravioli.
That's true.
There ain't. That's the voice of our guest, Harley Morenstein, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, of course, from Epic Mealtime, which is the Internet's top cooking show. Of course it is. Epic Chef premieres next week as well, which sounds awesome. I hate to be that guy, Harley, that has to ask this question because it's got to be the most asked question ever. But seriously, why are you not a fat ass? What, how do you not weigh 800 pounds?
I'm so unhealthy.
You're thin on health.
Oh, my body's disgusting. It's a horrible, horrible body. It's being bad now. It's starting to break down in certain parts.
Is that right?
Yeah, basically killing myself for the enjoyment of strangers on the internet.
Well,
but it's worth it.
It is worth it for us.
And also, I got to say, like, we're huge meat eaters. So what we do is during the week, we just eat only meat.
Right.
You know? No bread, no potatoes. And then Epic Mealtime comes once a week and we just go ham on it.
So. Yes. Lisa, I thought about you when I was catching up on my mealtime videos this week, and I don't think you could eat one of these things that they made. I literally don't think you could sit down in an unlimited amount of time and eat it.
Well, it does sound like giant piles of meat, and what else do you use? Cheese. And
that's it. You're actually doing like what my job is. That's what I do. Giant piles of meat and cheese, and then we cover it in liquor and wrap it in bacon, deep fry it, and then wrap it in bacon again.
Bacon is in everything,
though,
right?
That does sound like a challenge.
It really is. And, you know, we never were like, oh, bacon is, you know, really popular. It's just so natural to take it and be like, oh, yeah, and then wrap it in bacon. Yeah, and
whatever
fry it in bacon grease, of course. Yeah, of course. And then wrap it in bacon again. It's just it's the go-to move.
Do you have people that are upset with you for unhealthy whatever, blah, blah, blah? There's always people out there complaining.
Totally, totally, yeah. We get people being like, oh, my God, they waste the food. When in actuality, whatever we don't eat, the members of the cast bring home and it lives in their fridge for like 2 days
before they throw it out.
Yeah, and their family members usually come out and like cut off like a little sliver and have it. We made an 84 egg sandwich once. It was an egg sandwich made of 84 egg sandwiches.
Right.
And we ate half of it on the show, and the other quarters lived in two of my buddy's places. And like his dad would come downstairs and like slice a little off, microwave it for breakfast. Like,
oh my God,
like just you could eat on it for a week.
No joke. It was. We made a barbecue coliseum. It was like made of ribs.
A barbecue coliseum.
Yeah, it was like a rib coliseum with tons of like mac and cheese and pulled pork inside and stuff.
Oh my God.
And that lived in my buddy's fridge for like a week, and he was really sick, and I was like, Amir, I'm like, have you been eating ribs 3 times a day every day? And he's like, yeah. That barbecue coliseum got the best of you.
I know you guys have a cookbook. You sell a cookbook.
Yeah, we just started selling it this past week. shop.epicmealtime.com if you want to buy it.
Yeah, I saw you got all the t-shirts. Incredible. Products. The cookbook, though, I mean, do you really think that people are going to buy this book and recreate your recipes at home?
I'll have you know, people have already bought that book, and they better create recipes, otherwise it's just a waste of money for them. But we have some recipes in there, and it says, this recipe will feed 10 people.
Right.
And it's like, you know, one hamburger. It always comes back to burgers.
It's all about the burgers.
It is. And then, you know, I mean, they can just mathematically decide how to make a smaller version of that, but you know.
But they probably don't.
But that's offensive to you if they do, though, right, Harley?
Well, listen, I'm just happy they bought the thing. They can do whatever they want, you know?
Well,
they could use it as toilet paper. I'm just happy they bought it for
me. I am very excited about the Epic Chef competition. I think that sounds awesome. Mystery ingredients, just like the Iron Chef, except with way better ingredients.
And yeah, and everyone on set is drunk.
And no one's a chef.
That's what it's like. That's what it's like. It's really like a lot like Iron Chef, except everyone's drunk. And,
okay.
Right. And I'm there. So actually, it's a lot like Epic Mealtime also. It's got that Epic Mealtime vibe as if we came in drunk and took over a food show.
Right.
And that's the vibe it's got. It's pretty incredible.
Isn't the internet just the most amazing thing that a guy like you, Harley, could be a star on a show like Epic Mealtime and probably make a living out of it? I mean, this is a wonderful world we live in.
The internet is a horrible place. Okay? It's a horrible place. There's nothing – it's a bad, evil lair. Okay? Lots of people get hurt on the internet.
Right.
It's scary. You got to have thick skin. You got to be prepared to shield yourself from the haters. Like, you got to go in with that mentality and you know, make a home for yourself.
Do you get a lot of hate?
Yeah, we get it all the time. Oh, fat douchebag. I get that all the time. I come to believe it. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I am.
They're right. I have seen right. or heard nothing to suggest that you should not believe it, Arlie. I've got to be honest. Go to epicmealtime.com on Twitter at epicmealtime. Harley, I don't know if you'll be dead by heart attack next time we try to contact you to be on the program, but if everything goes
according to plan, I will be.
You will be dead. Yeah. If you're not, though, you're welcome back next time. Thank you, sir, for coming in. Thank you so much for having me. Rob has the Showbiz Beat coming up, and then you are minutes away from tickets to the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. Of course, it's this weekend. Pit tickets and backstage passes just after 9 o'clock this morning. Hey, Cousin Sal is on the phone. Hey, Sal, how are you, buddy?
What's happening, fellas? What are you guys up to?
I wanted to ask your opinion on something before we talk about your picks for the weekend, and that is you saw this Roger Goodell interview in Time Magazine. I'm sure you've already seen that.
Yeah,
where he's talking about eliminating kickoffs now in the interest of player safety. They're talking about doing punts from the 30-yard line. No more kickoffs in the NFL. Good or bad idea?
I think it's a terrible, terrible, terrible idea. I think, first of all, this is the competition committee ruling on this. They need to eliminate the word competition from their title. Because this is what football is all about. You start football without a kickoff, that's like starting Friends without the dancing around the fountain. It's not the same. It's not the same. And here's the thing. Here's their alternative. They're saying instead of kicking off, every team will start with the ball 4th and 15 at their own 30.
So
you could either punt it away because that's somehow safer, or you could go for it. And I'm worried like a team like the Patriots and Bill Belichick will just – they'll just go for it every time they make it. We'll see some games where the other team just never has the ball. They will just score and go for it and score and go for it. So it's bad on many levels, I think.
I know. It's always hard when they change the rules. I mean, it does seem like we get used to it, though, just like the new overtime rules. You know, it took a minute to understand how they work and what happens, but now we kind of all get it and we just live with it. But this one does seem like this drastically changes the game of football. I'd be very nervous about this kind of change, that's for sure.
I don't like it one bit. I don't even think it cuts down on concussions. If you watch the plays where the concussions are happening, it's not necessarily on the kickoff. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, Cousin Sal, of course, writes for Grantland.com. There's way more than we have time for on the radio. You should always read him there and follow him on Twitter at The Cousin Sal. Now, we didn't get to talk to you last week, but the week before you were 3-0 with your picks. You're 21-12 for the year, so you have been making the Kevin and Bean listeners some money. And why don't we start with Tampa Bay and Philadelphia? That's your first game up this weekend.
Yeah, you bumped me last week for breakfast with Blind Melon or some garbage. I don't know what, you know, and you cost your listeners some money because I won out again.
I think it was Miss Double December, but go ahead.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was it. All right, so Bucks and Eagles play this week. And, you know, I had a chance to see the Eagles play live last week at Cowboy Stadium. Not very good. Neither team was. But it's very easy to go up and down the field against this pathetic Eagles defense. And offensively, they're second in the league in turnovers. They're a mess. Philly's lost, like, 8 in a row. The Bucks have to win to keep their playoff hopes alive. And the Eagles need to lose to make sure their crappy coach Andy Reid gets fired and make their fans happy. But Tampa Bay quarterback Josh Freeman has 105 passer rating at home. That's based on 100, so that's pretty good, guys. Bad matchup for Philly. This one gets out of hand early. 30-13, take the Bucks, giving the 7.5 points.
All right. When I heard the talk of Andy Reid getting fired from the Eagles, and then some were suggesting he may end up coaching the Cowboys, believe me, I thought about you, Cousin Sal.
I know. We cannot have that.
No, that's unacceptable.
I don't think they're going to check with you, though.
We need kickoffs to start from the 30-yard line rather than do that. I can't have it. No.
All right. Next, we move on to my beloved Seattle Seahawks, who, as you know, very rarely win on the road but managed it against Chicago last week and are very much in the playoff hunt. They've got the Arizona Cardinals, who beat them in week one.
This is a big game for you, too. Are you betting anything?
God, no. I wouldn't put a penny on the Cardinals.
You should at least bet Acoustic Christmas tickets or something.
They've,
I don't know.
They've lost 8 in a row now.
They are really, really bad.
Terrible.
And what's worse is Seattle's won 3 of 4, and in that stretch, Russell Wilson, their quarterback, has 9 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. And
They give up fewer. They're even better at home. They give up fewer than 14 points a game at home. And that's when they play real NFL teams. The Cardinal squad doesn't qualify, I don't think. Half their rushing yards, Kevin, last week came on a fake punt. So I'm not even kidding. They're switching quarterbacks. I think it hardly matters. The only way Arizona covers this game is if the plane goes down. And I think they'll probably figure a way to blow it even then. If the Seahawks lose this one, Dean, I'm giving you my kidney, match or not.
I'm not going to be able to get my head around it if the Seahawks lose this one. There's just no way I can see this happening. But, I mean, that's the beauty of sports. All right, and finally, the Washington Redskins, who I enjoy watching so much this season. They've been so much fun with RG3, and they had that big win against the Giants on Monday night. They're going up against Baltimore. What do you think?
Yes, and Kevin, I know you especially hate this. Here comes some classic moronic Cousin Sal reasoning.
All right.
Settle in.
All right.
No one likes to read into the spreads while taking public perception into account more than I do. Now, all right, so take a look. It's 2.5. The Redskins are favored by just 2.5.
Right.
The Ravens lost last week to the Steelers, and their backup quarterback was like 147 years old. On the other hand, the Redskins are red hot. We know RG3 is a rookie quarterback phenom. I don't know if you guys seen him, but he's impossible to prepare for. You could watch tape on this guy till you're blue in the face. It's not going to help. So why is the spread only 2.5 points? I don't know, because someone knows something that we don't. Washington's coming off a short week. Baltimore's practically playing in a backyard. I think the RG3 bandwagon is it's getting a little crowded. It's a fishy spread. I'm going against the obvious choice. Ray Rice bust out. Take the Ravens plus the points. 19-14, Ravens.
That's a terrible choice.
That's very bold. Well, we don't know if it's terrible yet. I guess we'll find out. But, wow, okay. All right, so the Bucks minus 7.5 over the Philadelphia Eagles. You got the Seahawks minus 10 over Arizona. And then, as you heard, Baltimore plus 2.5 over Washington. Great stuff. Grantland.com. Find more from Cousin Sal. Follow him on Twitter at TheCousinSal. And, of course, look for him. I guess they're off this week, but next week back with his real-life cousin, Jimmy Kimmel, on the TV. Thanks, Sal. Have a great weekend, man.
All right, fellas. You too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ralph Garman, it's your time for the Showbiz Beat. I have a question for you, though, first, Ralph.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Does Kevin know?
Yeah! We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Can I answer that now?
We'll find out in about 9 minutes.
No. 1-800-520-1067. Does Kevin Know is what we're playing to give you your chance to win your way in to the sold-out 23rd Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. It's, of course, this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Pit tickets, backstage passes. Call now. You've got to be able to be on hold for a few minutes, and then we'll play Does Kevin Know right after the top of the hour. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now here's Ralph.
It's a simple game. We ask Kevin questions of things he absolutely should know, and then we bet on whether he does or not. Sometimes he surprises. Although, I'll tell you, it hasn't been much fun lately because Kevin's been really good the past couple times we played this.
I slept almost
none last night.
Oh,
so
that's good. That'll make it more fun.
I would go with no.
Okay. We'll wait and see.
All right.
This is a tragic story. This hurts my heart. These two guys, you may have heard about this hoax already, two DJs out of Australia pretending to be the Queen and Prince Charles, called the hospital where Kate Middleton was undergoing some treatment for her pregnancy issues. She was extremely nauseous. She had some complications. Anyway, they called the hospital impersonating the Queen and Prince Charles, and then talked to a receptionist who put them through to the doctors and healthcare team that were handling Kate's case, and they gave her some personal information during that phone call. Anyway, it's a big deal. It's a big hullabaloo in the UK and in Australia because of what these guys did. The woman who answered the phone at the hospital, the receptionist who put the call through, was found dead today in a suspected suicide.
Mm.
So 2 days after being duped by these radio DJs, they suspect she took her own life under the pressure of the fallout regarding what was going on.
I'm sure she was reprimanded by her superiors, saying, hey,
sounds like obviously she was poisoned by her superiors.
By the Queen.
This is just horrible, Ralph. I feel so bad about this, and you know, I know the DJs reasonably could never have expected something like this would happen.
No.
But I mean, imagine if that had happened to something like that had happened to us. Imagine you carry that around with you for the rest of your life. That your actions indirectly led to somebody killing themselves.
Yeah,
it's horrible. They should still fire those bastards, though, right?
I gotta go call the presidential palace in France. See if everybody's okay.
Make sure everybody's healthy.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. It would make me feel bad. Chris Evans, he's a real superhero. In Touch magazine has reports of Captain America visiting Boston's Children's Hospital. When he's home in Sudbury, Massachusetts, he shows up to the kids' ward there and meets all the kids. They get to meet Captain America. That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
He's an active fundraiser for that research hospital. That's where he calls home, is Boston. So he's done a lot of work for that hospital, and they say he stops by whenever he's in town to try to make the kids feel better. It's very nice of him. You know, he should do. He's like, I'm Captain America. Oh, I'm Human Torch. I'm Captain America. Human Torch. Just run around and be everybody, like, set himself on fire and run around. Should give the kids a full show.
I'm not sure the kids want to see someone on fire.
There's a lot going on. Are you kidding me? What takes your mind off your troubles more than watching somebody in flames?
You've always said that, Ralph.
That's right. I've always said that. Fox is finally releasing some of the cast for its new diving reality competition show. Never thought I put those words together in a sentence.
Nope.
Stars in Danger, The High Dive. The two-hour debut of that show was Wednesday, January the 9th. Oh, so glad it went up against the Joe Schmo show with that one, because I don't know if we can compete with Stars in Danger, The High Dive.
Could be so lucky.
JWoww is going to be one of the women diving. How's she going to get a clean dive with those giant cans of hers? It's going to cause some splashing. Terrell Owens is the most famous name on the men's team cast.
And by most famous,
Leonardo
you mean...
DiCaprio. DiCaprio is not participating.
By most famous, you mean the only one that we recognize out of this entire list.
You know some of them. You know David Chokichi?
Nope.
From Baywatch?
Sure, from Baywatch.
You'd know him if you saw him. Antonio Sabato Jr., you would know him.
I've heard the name.
You would know Antonio Sabato Jr.
He was a soap opera star, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was on Melrose Place and The Bold and Beautiful and General Hospital. We don't know the rest of the guys so far. Just those three cast members were released. For the women, we know it's JWoww Bethany Hamilton, lopsided surfer Bethany Hamilton, Alexandra Paul, who was on Baywatch. A lot of Baywatch alum in this. Yeah.
Well, go kind figure. Of makes sense. Water.
Kim Richards.
Thank you for clarifying that.
I think we knew why it makes sense. You know, water.
Because they were in swimsuits on that show.
I think
now
we got it. I think we understand.
We get the water tie-in without the explanation.
Former child actress Kim Richards and sister Kyle Richards from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills also participating. Do they count as celebrities?
No.
No, they don't.
No.
So you think it's like Dancing with the Stars where they have instructors who train them, teach them how to dive?
Yep. That's how it's going to work. In fact, Olympic medalist Troy Dumais will be the color commentary guy. They're looking for another Olympic diving alum, apparently, who will be the coach. But no word on who they picked yet. But more details. I will keep you on top of it.
That's great.
Amanda Bynes was spotted clubbing in New York City all by herself. Eyewitnesses say she was at a nightclub called SL about 1:45 a.m. in the morning, just stumbling around, walking into people, dancing with random strangers. She was alone, definitely like walking into people. She looked just zoned out of her mind, said one eyewitness. Someone recognized her and said, can we get a picture of you? You're Amanda Bynes. She snapped back, no, I'm not, and I don't want my picture taken. If I was Amanda Bynes, I wouldn't want my picture taken, I mean. That's what I meant to say.
Because she hates that.
That's right. I heard on TMZ. They also saw her apparently at some sort of diner afterwards. She stumbled out of the nightclub and sat by herself in a booth. And yet had a very lively conversation, so what do you know?
You guys have done that, right?
Sat by myself in a booth
when
I'm drunk.
Group? Lose your group?
I don't think she had a group.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like she showed up alone, left alone, ate alone, drank alone, stumbled alone.
Could have taken a picture with a friend, but no.
No, well, she wasn't Amanda Bynes.
That's right. That's right.
And I hate to suggest this, Kevin, but you've never lost your group. They've lost you.
Yeah, well, that's possible.
That's true.
Yeah.
We're on the party bus. I don't know who on the party bus is.
I'm on my way to Grimace. I'm going to Grimace.
Who likes Grinchmas? you get tickets for Grinchmas now.
I did that giveaway earlier this week, and Bean, his last words to me were, it looks pretty easy.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. And then Bean left the room.
If you say Grinchmas, it is pretty easy.
And I said Grinchmas.
Well said, Kevin.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Emily Browning of Sucker Punch fame is 24 years old. Jennifer Carpenter from Dexter turns 33. Shiri Appleby, she was on Roswell. Also, Life Unexpected, 34. Terrell Owens, we were just talking about him, diving into a pool, 39 years old today. C. Thomas Howell of Southland. And those other things we said
earlier. Alphas.
Alphas, yeah. 46 years old. Spider-Man. Larry Bird, 56. And singer Tom Waits. Kevin's new favorite singer, Waits, is 63 years old today.
You know, we always play those comedy clips. Ralph goes to us for a real clip, and we play a comedy
clip. Goat horror or something.
Right, instead. And this sounds like it's a comedy clip, but this is really Tom Waits?
This is from his...
You're not playing a prank on me right now?
Critically acclaimed album.
You're the head on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're
the key that got lost. You're the letter from Jesus on the bathroom wall. You're murder superior with only a bra. You're the same, you're the same, you're the same.
That is going to be my go-to comedy bit for all of 2013.
And your ringtone. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Grammy-nominated Lumineers right there on K-Rock, one of the many bands you'll be seeing this weekend when you win your tickets in the pit, along with backstage passes for the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We're doing that right now with a game we like to call Does Kevin Know?
Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? Well, there seems to be some doubt. Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? I think it's time we all found out. Well, we know he has some knowledge, but it might be pretty small. He thinks he went to college, but he really can't recall. Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? I think it's time we all found out.
That's a fun game.
So Does Kevin know?
The way it works is Ralph today is going to be asking the questions, and we're going to find out whether Kevin knows the answer to something. The caller is going to hear. How does it work again? I always forget how this works.
We're going to put Kevin in the cone of silence.
That's right.
We will read to the listener the question that yes. Kevin will have to answer.
That's right.
All the listener has to do is say, will Kevin be able to answer the question or not? It's very simple.
Okay. And then we bring Kevin back into the room, and then we find out whether he does, in fact, know or not. I got it. And,
That's right.
If you are right, if you guess correctly whether he will or not, you go into the drawing to win the tickets. Only one can win. Let's start with contestant number one on line one. This is going to be Christine to get us going. Good morning, Christine. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Christine. We have to put Kevin in the cone of silence. He is now in.
Hi, Kevin.
Kevin, can you hear us? Okay. Christine, yesterday...
Kevin, you're fat.
Yesterday, Kevin and Bean did a lengthy interview with Imagine Dragons, the band Imagine Dragons.
Okay.
We also replayed it this morning, actually, the 6 o'clock hour. Kevin talked to this guy for a half an hour yesterday. Will he be able to name the lead singer of Imagine Dragons?
Yes.
You think he will?
Yeah.
You don't know our boy, but okay.
Think he'll know the name Dan Reynolds. You think
my kid's Christmas relies on this. He has to.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That's a lot of pressure. What do you think, Lisa? What do you think? He's going to be able to know?
I don't think so.
Bean, what do you think?
Hells no.
All right, let's wait and see. Can we bring Kevin out of the cone of silence, please? There's Kevin. Hey, Kev.
Hey, everyone.
Kevin, yesterday you had a lengthy interview with the band Imagine Dragons.
Yes.
You spoke to him for about a half an hour.
Correct.
We actually replayed it this morning.
Uh-huh.
You talked to this guy for about a half an hour yesterday.
Right.
Do you know the name of the lead singer of Imagine Dragons?
Dan.
Will we accept that?
I think we're looking for first and last name.
Yeah, we're looking for first and last name.
Oh, I don't think I ever saw the last name.
Oh, really?
I hope the listener said no.
Come on, Kevin.
Dan.
Christine said yes.
Last
I'm sorry.
Name.
And yeah. Christine also
There's
said
two
not,
Dans
to, pun-
in that
not
band.
To pile on. Christine also said her whole kid's Christmas depended on her being right.
Come
that's
on
all.
Now.
That's all.
That's
all.
Why I feel. That's why I
don't
feel
know
bad.
Last
I was
names.
Giving, I was almost going to want to give him the
Dan.
What do you
I'm
think?
Sorry, Judges? Christine.
No, we can't.
Sorry, Christine.
Thank you for playing anyway. Let's move along to contestant number two. If you were asking where is Chuck, the answer is he's on the line to play. Does Kevin know right now?
Oh no, you didn't.
Chuck. Hi, Chuck.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, party people.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
Here you go. Chuck, here's the question I'm going to ask Kevin. Our frequent guest Nancy Leader claims to be the emissary of an alien race that communicates with her about the end of the world. Does Kevin know the name of the aliens?
Oh, this is the woman we just had on a few days ago,
just
Ralph.
Had her
right?
a few days
telling
ago,
us
yeah.
that the world was going to end. We were in the final weeks. Okay.
Yeah. Will he know the name Zetas? They are the Zetas.
Well, win or lose, can someone go punch Beer Mug in his mangina for
sure,
me?
Sure, I'll do
yes,
that
Yes, we'd
for
be
it.
Happy
yes.
to.
But do you think Kevin will know it or not?
I think Kevin's been drinking or eating ginkgo lately, so I'm going to say he does know.
You're going to say yes, all right.
He's going to come up with Zetas, okay.
Lisa, being
Oh,
anything?
I think so, too, yeah. Yeah.
I think so, too, because we've only because we've had her on multiple times over the years.
All right, we'll see. Can we bring him back in the room? Here we go. Here's Kevin. Kevin, one of your favorite guests in the world, Nancy Leader?
Yes.
Claims to be an emissary of an alien race that communicates with her about the end of the world. What are the name of the aliens?
Zetas.
The Zetas, that's
there
correct. Yes.
Well done, Chuck. Well done.
Chuck said yes. Well done, Chuck.
Good. I don't like it All being right. on me that people lose.
Hey, it's completely on them. They
I
can
know.
Say yes or no.
That's right. They just have to know you.
Let's say you guys want some dick.
I'll go to him on the phone. How about that?
Line three.
Can't tell you how many times I've heard Bean say that.
Dick is joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, trying to get in the drawing as we play Does Kevin Know? Kevin is in the cone of silence. Here's Ralph with your question.
Dick, Wednesday we talked to Judd Apatow about his new movie. It stars Paul Rudd and his wife Leslie Mann. Will Kevin know the name of this movie? Will he know This Is 40 coming out in a couple weeks?
I don't even know the name of the movie, so let's say no.
You're going to say no? All right, let's see what Howard Boy does.
I'm going to say
out of the cone.
I'm going to say absolutely.
What are you doing?
You're
going
to say absolutely yes?
I think he will.
I don't know what's happening. Because I think he's looking forward to it. But we'll find out.
Beer mug tapped me on the shoulder about halfway through that and then turned my headphones up and then back down and up and back down.
No, we weren't talking. We weren't going to give anything away. We were just having a little conversation while you came back out of the cone.
All right.
Kevin, Wednesday we talked to Judd Apatow.
Yes.
The writer and director. He's got that new movie.
Apatow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Starring that new movie with his with Paul Rudd and his wife Leslie Mann.
Yes.
What's the name of that new movie?
This is 40.
This is 40. Well done. All right.
Correct.
Dick, congratulations. You're in the drawing as well, my friend.
All right.
Or did Dick say no?
I think Dick said no.
Dick said no because he said no.
Dick said no.
I apologize.
Oh, sorry, Dick.
So you're not in the drawing.
All right. No, Dick.
All right. I think we have time for one more, maybe.
One
so far,
more?
Only Chuck is in the drawing. Let's see if Nigel can join him. Nigel's on line four, and he is
here
for Does Kevin Know.
All right, Nigel. Here's the question. Kevin is involved in hiring our interns here at the station. Every morning, Kevin orders breakfast from one of our interns. Will Kevin know the names of all three of our interns this semester?
So yes.
You think you will know the names of all three?
These are people that we've been seeing week after week for months now since the fall semester began, right,
Ralph?
Day
in and day out.
No way he can't. But, no way he can't.
Actually, there's a way he can't because it's Kevin.
So you say yes, he's going to come up with three separate names of three separate people.
Ooh, can I change it?
It's up to you.
No,
look, you can
do whatever you want. Your answer. We're just trying to paint a realistic picture here.
Does this include nicknames? Can he just use their nicknames?
No, he's got to use their names.
Their names.
I don't know that Kevin can name all of us in this room on the show with him.
In other words, I should say no.
Look, we're not saying one way or the other. We're just saying we have our concerns. That's all.
No.
Look, he's doing pretty well today. He's on a roll. You might be right. I don't want to scare you out of your choice.
Deal or no deal?
Yeah. He says no.
No.
You're saying no.
You're saying no.
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 Okay. I agree.
You say no, Lisa?
Yes.
All right. I think he could do it. We'll wait and see.
I agree. I'm with Lisa. I say no. All I say no way in hell. Right.
Let's bring Kevin back in the room
for the
final question.
Okay.
We had a very lengthy discussion trying to talk the caller in or out of an answer.
How did you do that? Spirited debate about whether you can get this one or not.
Because this is one of those that's, it's right on the edge. We really don't know what you're going to come up with.
Kevin, you're involved with hiring our interns here. You almost always sit in on that. Every morning you order breakfast from one of our interns.
Yes.
Do you know the names of all three of our interns we have this semester? The first names of all the interns we were working with.
I know Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
That's one.
I know Natalie.
That's two.
And the guy that's sitting right out there at the phone, whose nickname is Hair.
Right. What's his name?
Hair.
Nope.
Is what's the his nickname. Name.
Right. What's his name?
For a guy whose name is.
What's his name?
You did hire him.
I know, but he became Hair immediately.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean,
what
we haven't said
is.
His name. Oh, wow. I hired
Time's
him.
Up. Time's up.
I'm guessing the listener said no.
He did say yeah.
No, right? I really don't know Hare's name.
Robert.
Is Hare's name. Of course.
Yeah.
Sorry, Hare.
But the important thing is that Nigel did not think you were going to come up with this, so therefore he is in the drawing, as is Chuck. Only one can win pit tickets and backstage passes to join us this weekend at the sold out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Lisa, who's the winner?
Nigel.
Yay! Got in just under the wire.
Sweet.
Congratulations, Nigel. You're going to both nights.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to it. Thanks for the tip.
Wait, you talked him into the fact that I wouldn't
we
know?
We just trying to paint a realistic picture of what he was dealing
this
with.
This whole game is bogus.
Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? Well, I think we all found out.
Hold on. This is my favorite part. Someone oil that door. I think it's a ship. Is it a ship or is it a door? What is that sound effect?
Rocking chair?
I don't know.
My knees?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Final look at the showbiz beat for the week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us.
How would it be a ship? I don't know. They sing about a ship and a shore and all that in the lyrics.
They're talking about walking around in an old and empty house.
I don't know.
It's floorboards.
I don't really pay attention to lyrics, so I'm the wrong guy to go to.
Tom Waits would know.
Yes, he would.
Yeah. They're at it again. The 1 million moms. All 40,000 of them.
Huh?
All 40,000 of the 1 million moms are upset once again that JCPenney has Ellen DeGeneres as their spokesperson.
They can't get over the fact that she likes girls, can they?
No. Can't get past that she's a lesbian.
Once again, we're on the side of buy from JCPenney because of this.
Yeah. You should do your Christmas shopping from no other place.
F them.
They've got their website, the 1 Million Moms website, which really is funny considering there are 40,000 of them.
Can we call ourselves the 1 Million DJs?
We should. We should call the show 1 Million DJs.
Only like four or five of us, but
She's got a commercial on where she talked to some elves about Christmas, and they're going nuts. Since April, JCPenney has not aired Ellen DeGeneres in one of their commercials until now. That's a great sentence, first of all. Since April, they have not aired a commercial until now.
And by the way, they aired the ones that they were complaining about. They went through with it and aired them.
Yeah. JCPenney ad features Ellen and three elves. JCP has made their choice, says the website, to offend a huge majority of their customers. Christians must now vote with their wallets. Remember the good old days of the Christians and the Lions? You throw them in a big theme park and just let them go at it.
I don't remember the days firsthand, no. But
those are good times. I remember me and Maximus used to hang out, watch them. We used to vote on it, put our thumbs robe up or down, yeah, with our wreaths around our heads. Those are good times.
I know I shouldn't be surprised, Ralph, that we're having this conversation in 2012, but the number of self-proclaimed Christians who are at the point of railing against people because they're born gay has to be a dwindling number, right?
I think
there can't be that many left, right?
I think you would be horribly disappointed, sir.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's about as accurate as the million mom number. I think it is going down. I hope it's going down.
I hope so, too. But look, here's the thing. This is a taught mentality.
What does that mean?
It means that parents who believe that way teach their kids to believe that way. And there's no shortage of adults, I think, who feel that way. So my fear is that kids are also being taught that lesson. But I would like to think it is dwindling. On the website, by the way, they've got that warning about Ellen DeGeneres right next to a warning about the Victoria's Secret fashion show. How that's also the tool of Satan.
How could anyone not like that show?
That's what I'm saying. Boobs. I'm saying boobs.
Why don't they see how obvious it is that it's good?
I don't know.
One girl is good, so two is twice as good.
1 million moms is asking everyone to call JCPenney and ask that the company replace DeGeneres as
blah,
a sponsor.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah. Was in Philadelphia this week. Apparently, Max George and his band The Wanted were performing at Jingle Balls, one of those BS radio Christmas shows. Who still does that in this day and age?
That
who
is
puts those together?
Pretty outdated.
It's ridiculous. Actually, it's such a guys, just pandering. You're just pandering to people. It's not the holiday season at all. It's just an excuse
to Christmas this weekend.
Oh, that's right. So she showed up to see The Wanted and weaseled her way onto the tour bus. Reports are that she left Philadelphia with Max George and the band on the tour bus and went to their show in Boston with them. She left the bus considerably more moist than she got on, they say.
Did she sample all of the band members?
I think she played all their instruments. Dolly Parton. Last week she told us she wasn't a lesbian. Now she's telling us that she lives a life of constant pain.
What?
Her back.
Back pain, right?
Her back.
Gotta be.
Her sure. back is racked.
Sure.
Because of her rack. Her rack racked her back. She is in enormous pain due to her 42 double Ds. By the way, they're only 42 double D. Suck it up, Dolly.
But well, she weighs like 75 pounds.
Yeah, she's a tiny
girl. She's so tiny, yeah.
She refuses to take pain pills, she says, and relies on meditation to ease the ache. Did we ever discover whether those are hers or not? Are they real?
What do you mean those are hers?
They
they're way real. Yeah. Yes,
really?
They're way real. Yeah.
Easy
yeah,
bean.
Yeah, yeah.
I know they're way real.
Jeez, I didn't know you were her.
No, I mean, remember how old she is. When she had those when she was a teenage singing star to begin with before they even had breast implants.
Yeah. Right.
Didn't mean to offend you. We're just checking on it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
upset you up there. Very seriously.
Up there in Dollywood, I didn't realize how
way
she would
real.
Get. Oh, God. Oh,
so real it
please
hurts.
Please consider this.
Freaking love Dollywood.
Let me show
no
you
one
these,
loves Dollywood.
These graphics and slides I prepared. Britney
Look,
Spears.
I've got a signed, notarized document from the doctor. They're real, okay?
Britney Spears is cashing her $15 million paycheck this year, but her fear is that she won't be invited back. Her performance has been lackluster, to say the least, and now she is concerned about whether she will get a second season on as a judge on The X Factor. Not so much so that National Enquirer reports she was overheard crying in Demi Lovato's dressing room.
What?
About the fact she thinks they aren't going to renew her contract to bring her back for a second season because her performance is that boring.
Are they sure it was crying?
What could it have
coming
been?
Coming from Demi Lovato's room?
Oh, stop. I don't even know what you're talking about, but stop. Have you watched any of that?
No.
What? No.
I watched some for the first time this week because my DVR was broken. I had nothing recorded. so I had to watch television in real time.
Wow.
Remember that?
Brutal.
You ever remember watching television? You had to actually find what was on at the moment and then whatever that was you had to watch?
No, terrible. That's crazy talk.
It seems so foreign to me, but I was actually flipping around channels looking for something to watch because I had nothing else.
And Duck Dynasty wasn't on?
I don't believe it was. But so I caught a little X Factor. Boy, is that a horrible show.
Is it?
Boy, it's horrible. You got Mario Lopez and Chewy Kardashian up there. And Simon is sort of a parody of himself now. And the music and bands are horrible. They're all like these astastic boy bands and stuff. And it's just hideous stuff. And the judges are dullards. It's just horrible.
You're still an American Idol man then when it comes to singing.
I didn't watch that last year. I was torn for that
you're
one.
Way out.
The only one I've seen any of that I actually enjoyed is The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one I watched. I said, this is actually pretty entertaining. The judges are lively. They have good interchanges. The people can actually sing. It was kind of refreshing for me. All right. That's enough of me. Let's talk about other kinds of reality shows. Like Stars in Danger, The High Dive.
Yeah.
It's going to have its
Stars not included.
It's going to have its 2-hour debut on Fox on Wednesday, January the 9th. They're starting to leak now about who will be participating, putting themselves in danger. JWoww from Jersey Shore.
Yeah!
She'll be diving.
That's hot!
Diving for the ladies' team. Terrell Owens, former NFL wide receiver. He'll be diving for the men. Other women, Bethany Hamilton, who's going to wish the shark had finished her off. Alexandra Paul. Electra Paul would be a cooler name. Alexandra Paul from Baywatch. She's going to be on there. And the Richards sisters, Kim and Kyle Richards. Kim used to be a child actress. She was in Escape to Witch Mountain for a bunch of Disney films. Her sister, Kyle Richards, is from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. David Chokichi from Baywatch and Antonio Zapato Jr. are fleshing out some of the slots on the men's team.
I don't know who any of those people are.
This sounds like a horrible show.
Yes, it does.
Who would watch that?
Dude, before you told us who was on it, it was still a show about diving to begin with.
Yeah,
how was going to be?
I was hoping they'd get like Louis Anderson or something, big fat guys doing belly flops in the pool.
Belly
or
flops, now I'm in.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. Another day, another alien television program. USA announced they are launching a new show called Horizon about aliens invading our planet. Here's the hook on this one, though. It's set during World War II.
Okay.
And it's about
trying to battle
three fronts.
And the aliens.
The Germans, the Japanese, and the aliens.
That's interesting.
From the producers of Walking Dead. Could be something.
Hmm. That's just before when the alien invasion started in this country with Roswell and everything. That was after the war.
Oh, yeah, he believes.
You're acting as if there was an alien invasion of this country.
Oh, he's firmly in that camp.
Science.
Okay, Paul.
He's firmly in that camp.
And Justin Bieber didn't get a single Grammy nomination this year. His manager, Scooter Braun, is furious. Went on a Twitter rant Wednesday, right after the nominations were announced. This time there won't be any wise words, no excuses. I just plain disagree.
Who gives a damn?
The kid deserved it. Grammy board, you blew it on this one.
Who gives a damn?
He still gets to keep all the money, though, right, Scooter?
Right.
Then shut up! He doesn't need a Grammy. He needs a slap upside the head.
Yes,
he doesn't need a Grammy. He needs someone to buy him some new overalls. He doesn't need a Grammy. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Emily Browning, lovely star of Sleeping Beauty and Sucker Punch, is 24 years old. Anybody ever see that, Sleeping Beauty? I wanted to catch that, but I missed it. Story of young prostitutes who are knocked unconscious so men can have their ways with them while they're unconscious and sleeping.
No.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. No, that's
what
the movie was about.
Huh.
Jennifer Carpenter from Dexter is 33. Shiri Appleby, speaking of Roswell, 34 years old today. Terrell Owens, we're just talking about him, diving, 39. C. Thomas Howell, I know we've been talking about his most recent work, Alphas and Southland. But let's not forget, the guy was one of the preeminent teen stars of his day. Outsiders.
Sure.
Wolverines. Red Dawn. He was in Red Dawn, for God's sakes.
That's right.
Soul Man. Let's not forget his classic work, Soul Man.
There it is.
Where he played a white guy who couldn't get into Harvard, so he put shoe polish on his face and pretended to be black to fit their minority quota so he could get into Harvard.
Sure enough, he got in.
He sure did.
Where's the remake of that?
Where's that? Where's the guy with the shoe polish on his face carrying the boombox on his shoulder saying things like Jive Turkey? Where's that movie?
That may have to be a Ralph Video Vault.
You have no idea how bad it is.
We may have to visit that
There's
in the Ralph Video Vault.
There's a scene where he eats watermelon.
Yes,
I
there
am
is.
Not kidding
oh
you.
Oh, my God.
There really should have been a race riot over that film.
Wow.
I wouldn't have blamed him one bit. I would have taken up sides with the Black Panthers.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody.
I don't believe
it's
it.
It's going down.
I don't really.
It's going
I
down.
I don't think it race is
war.
Going
Come
down.
Come on. No. Race war. No.
Yeah, it's fine. We're all good now. Larry Bird's 56 and singer Tom Waits celebrates his 63rd birthday. We've been paying tribute to Tom all morning long. Why stop now?
I can't believe he's this bad.
I think we have a new clip.
We do.
Some additional Tom Waits music for those of you who know and love the velvet tones of Mr. Tom Waits.
Come on along with the Black Rider. We'll have a gale time.
This is not real.
That is
Tom I refuse. Lay down.
Like this guy.
I am a Tom Waits fan, lots yes. Although
I will tell you his voice is I mean it's tough
it's
to,
unlistenable.
It's tough to get past.
It's tough to get past. I'll drink your blood like wine. I'll drink your blood like wine.
It's not everything, that's for sure.
He's a good actor, Tom Waits.
Who cares?
He was in that Seven Psychopaths.
You know what, he's not a good singer?
I think he's very talented.
Wow.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is a crappy voice.
That's a rough 63 to look at and listen to, by the way. That dude's only 63. It sounds like those are his last breaths when he's 90.
He does sound like the I can't walk so good guy. He does sound
he
like
does.
That. My front porch has got poop on it.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too far.
Come on along, Mr. Black Rider.
He's done.
We'll have a gale time.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too far.
From the Black Spider.
Remix.
I'll drink your blood like wine.
He never would have won X Factor, I'll tell you that.
Wow. That's
true. I'm right. Walk the showbiz beat. I think I said that. I wanted to say it again just in case you forgot who I was.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Are you gay?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Really? Are you kidding me?
Roll another one.
Where's the outrage there?
Just like the other one.
You're talking out of your ass, dummy.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Well, our next stop's the nut.
And I need another hit.
Don't bogart the joint, pass it along.
That's right, that's right. Puff, puff, pass, man.
I don't know any of the terminology.
Puff, puff,
puff, puff,
pass.
Pass.
Pass the joint.
All right.
Roll another one.
I guess everybody does love dick.
Just like the other one.
Give me a little dick, will ya? Give me some dick.
This one seems to be a rather
What was in the yard?
I don't have another sense.
You are a murderer of love.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Just pass it around.
Those balls are sensational.
Very well, job done, baby.
I'll just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
Let's burn this mother down!
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the toughs get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
You just bought yourself another week. Go home and get some rest.